welcome to another exciting broadcast day.
Yes, indeed, indeed. Phone number 866-901-ADAM, 866-901-ADAM. Good morning, Teresa Strasser.
Good morning, Adam Carolla.
Good morning, Danny Bonaducci.
Good morning, Adam Carolla, Teresa Strasser, Big O'Brien.
It's so effing hot outside. My bedroom's upstairs. My air conditioning is out.
It's so damn hot.
And it's 75 degrees. I mean,
milk was a bad choice.
I'm not exaggerating. At 4 in the morning, it's 75 degrees. I couldn't sleep last night, and I've had an ass full of it. I realize I have a horrible combination of, you know, certain things remind you of certain things. Certain smells, good and bad.
Yeah.
For me, if I smell a freshly mowed lawn, I just think of football practice. I spent so many years with my face in the grass.
Right.
That's all you do when you do football.
Dawson, too.
They put your face in the grass. Yeah. So it's more of his apartment than his actual face is in the grass. But
he didn't have carpet. He has grown.
Yeah.
He has carpet.
You do a lot of...
I waited for you, man.
Football is really nothing but you. It's a people like, what's football practice like? And I'll tell you what football practice is like. You run in place, and some guy blows a whistle, and you dive on your belly. And every time you get up as fast as you possibly can, you run in place again. A guy hits the whistle again. Then you dive on your belly and you get back up again. That's all this.
Any push-ups, any leg movements?
You just run in place and dive on your belly and then get back up again. It's pretty much all. And by the way, it's the most tiring and annoying thing you can do. You would be begging to do some sit-ups or some bench press
just
ran in place and then the guy tooted a whistle and you just on your belly, back up on your feet. On your belly, back up on your feet. That's all football practice is. And every time you go on your belly, you just get a nose full of the earth. Like you smell the grass. So every time I smell cut grass, I just think football practice. That's all I think of. But when I feel the heat, I just think of a poor, crappy childhood. I just think of no air conditioning, hot in the valley.
Oh, yeah.
This house sucks. This car sucks. Everything sucks. I can't escape it because when you're poor, you know, you really got to look at it this way. When you're poor, and I mean dirt poor, poverty poor, I'm talking about, living in parts of Africa poor, you are at completely at the mercy of the environment. If it's 90 degrees outside, it's 90 degrees inside.
Because there is no real inside.
There's no air. There's no heat. There's no anything. There's just no... You sleep on the ground, and if there's bugs, the bugs sleep with you. I mean, it's really about the more money you have, the farther you remove yourself from the environment.
Right. If they're handing out Plumpy Nut, they probably don't have it that good.
Right. And a certain Plumpy Nut is something we discussed last week on 60 Minutes. It's peanut butter for poor people. But the point is this. If you really think about it, the more money you have, the further you get from everything. That's why Britney Spears doesn't renew her driver's license.
Yeah.
She's removed. You just get removed until you become Howard Hughes.
Right.
You grow a beard, you walk around nude, you say things like, what do you mean that hotel won't accept me? Well, then buy it.
Right.
And I'll move into the top floor. It's called being removed, but being removed, not always a bad thing.
Yeah.
Being removed can be a good thing.
Yeah, you can take it too far, but in its right place, it can be a good thing. When Howard would used to say outside his cottage, put my sandwich in the tree outside my cottage, bad thing.
Right. Now, when Adam has his assistant, Jay, break in his shoes, he's keeping it real.
Right.
That's right. That's right.
He's down with the homies.
Well, come on, T. You make me sound like some kind of monster. He only does dress shoes.
I know.
He only does formal shoes. I've never have him break in sneakers for more than a couple of weeks, let's say. Plus, he has to change his socks every kilometer because I'm obsessed with the metric system now.
Speaking of your assistant, Jay, looking very fine at the Playboy Mansion.
As many
of our team were, yeah.
Oh, really?
Brian was looking good, dressed as a football player.
Yeah.
Danny had guyliner.
Yeah.
How did it get the other night, too? I think I'm starting to dig it.
All right, well, we can talk about that. I just want everyone to know I'm pre-miserable because as I was thrashing around, it was 4 a.m., the fan, you know, Molly did that I'm spread out as wide as I can get. I'm a dog. Right. I'm hot. I don't know what to do kind of mode. Like, dogs are like, as a matter of fact, you don't really need a thermometer or temperature gauge or anything. You can just go look at a dog.
Yeah.
The dog is curled up into a ball and attempting to eat its own tail.
It's cold.
It's cold. If the dog does that thing where I can't spread out any wider, it's hot. Yeah. Molly's into that. I'm nude. I got my ass hanging out. My feet hang out. The ceiling fan is blowing. The window's open. And I pop up at 4 a.m. and I'm like, wow, I'm really hot. And then I thought, it's what? I'm passing pumpkins and Christmas tree lots. Right. You know, we're taking the kids out trick-or-treating on Wednesday. Went to the stupid Mommy and Me class on Friday for their graduation. The kids were all dressed up like little pumpkins and dwarves and fairies and elves and things. Like, what the hell? When are we going to get some cold? Nothing better. I love the sweatpants and the hoodie kind of thing. I love that. I love a hot cup of coffee and you're glad it's hot.
Yeah.
Like, not only is it a cup of coffee, but it's warming you, that this leaves fall, you know, all that stuff.
What were the kids dressed as? I love kids in costumes.
Oh, I got to say, Natalia was a little teeny bopper sock hopper kind of 50s poodle skirt. But Sonny stole the show as Bob's big boy.
Nice.
Did he do his hair?
He did his hair up. Even put... I don't know if I agree with this. I don't want to. I don't want to, you know, screw the kid up sexually. But put some rouge on his cheeks. His cheeks were very rosy.
You got to bring pictures.
He was very, very cute and filling out that big boy outfit too. I must say.
I went to. If you wanted to be a little cooler and wear a little less, mm-hmm. I hosted the Exotic Erotic Ball in San Francisco.
Oh, the kids were there. They were there.
They were dressed as a what?
Bob's butt plug.
Dude.
Same outfit, different color hat.
Still had the rouge.
Butt plug? Can I just start yawning at you now?
Really?
Oh, my God. That's merchandise nothing. Alone. Stuff I never saw before. Beds with different parts of cages that would fold out and either
this is Saturday
stuff. Yeah,
Saturday.
It's during the day part. And then you could be locked in a stand of almost Iron Maiden, except you could see the person. It's too hard to explain the apparatus. The naked people were fairly odd, and then I got really odd. But the sexual stuff that was allowed to go on, and kind of, because we did a First Amendment speech first, so I couldn't like go, you're disgusting pigs and should all die.
Right.
So then I felt the need to join in. The big part for me, for my moment, I know I'm, well, it was a costume, really. The Chippendales guys, before the full-on naked chick show, mm-hmm. the Chippendales guys went out and did the thing called You Can Leave Your Hat On.
Yeah.
And while they're dancing and slowly taking off their clothes, all the girls that are about to be naked next are saying, you know, you're in better shape than those guys. Mm-hmm. It's hot chicks that are about to be naked that keep saying that. And at the end, these guys have nothing but the hats they were wearing in the beginning over their genitals.
Mm-hmm.
So I ripped off my clothes as fast as I could, covered my hoosets with some poor guy's hat, and ran out on stage. So I'm thinking...
Hold on, Danny. That poor guy was the Pope. Okay?
Well, I would just like to thank you for the compliment. That's a big-ass hat.
All Catholics an apology right now, including this one.
But, hey, if you have any of the weirder pictures from the Exotic Erotic Ball, please send them to adamcarolla.com. I'm sure... Just, like, don't inundate or anything like that, but just some of the more bizarre things, because there's no way to explain. As a matter of, just let me put it this way. Amy's jacket was a little too big. She wore my goth coat. So I said, don't worry about it. I got it fixed, knowing what would be there. I used nipple clamps.
To fix.
Yeah, I knew there'd be right. There was 100 different choices. Yeah.
Yeah.
It was crazy, man.
Maybe we should write this down as a topic for maybe Wednesday, which is, I believe, Halloween. You know, we always talk about this thing where women use Halloween as an excuse to, you know, get all sexy and slutty and all that kind of stuff. Don't get me started on the gays.
What do they do?
I'll get started on the gays.
What don't they do? Do you know what I mean? And I mean, not only the gays, but the swingers and the erotic, whatever. I mean, we talk about the women, but you go to San Francisco around Halloween, look out.
When I grew up in the Castro, the Halloween party, they shut down the whole neighborhood.
Yeah.
Hundreds of people would be in the costume contest. And one year I was in the final three as a kid. Because I was Elizabeth Taylor from Cat on a Hot Tin Roof.
Wow.
And the gays were loving me.
Oh, I'm loving the gays. I'm loving the gays. And to my surprise, you know who I like? I hate porn stars. Well, the three I met and did a panel with on the First Amendment were quite well-versed.
Mm-hmm.
And second, I met a couple of swingers who were really nice and attractive and made me think, this can't be that bad of an idea.
I've said this many times. No one knows constitutional law like Dick Rambone.
I agree.
I've said that. So, hey, I'm not... Hey, Ryan.
He's the Dershowitz.
This was it, man. This was it.
Hey, Ryan.
Yeah, good morning.
From Northridge. What's up, my brother?
Not much. I wanted to call and tell you my girlfriend knows what a big fan I am of the show. And for my birthday dinner, she took me to Amalfi this weekend.
Oh, that's Adam's restaurant.
Oh, really? Yeah.
Yeah. We were hoping for an Adam sighting, but
What night did you go?
We went Friday night.
Well, so funny. I was in the car heading to Amalfi's on Friday night.
Where exactly?
With my wife, which is in, I guess it's in West Los Angeles. It would be on La Brea off of Beverly. Right.
That's where I was just there. I didn't know that was your place.
Is that considered, is that West LA or what is that?
Considered just Hollywood?
Hollywood?
No, I don't know because it's that Beverly Center something. They call it the Beverly something.
West Hollywood. Well, anyway.
It's when I was staying at the Palazzo right here,
mm-hmm.
I just went there, and I had no idea that was your place.
Yeah, it's good.
It was
good,
really
Italian
good,
food. And I was this close, and my wife said, the sitter, and we drove to went to a place that was closer. What a senior
we
there.
Hoping for. And
although I wouldn't have known it was you. Yeah, but anyway, go ahead, Ryan. Sorry.
Didn't get an Adam sighting. Mm. But the food was great, the service was amazing, and the whole night we sat next to Jeremy Piven and his date.
Well, I'm going to put an end to that. Now, who was he with? Anybody we know?
Some 15-year-old, not so attractive thing.
Not attractive?
No, probably six out of ten.
Wow. All right. And what did he order?
You know what? I was afraid to look.
Uh-huh.
What did you get?
Contact, realized who it was. And just
what'd you get, Ryan?
I got the, what was it? It was
you go with the pasta?
Pasta and shrimp with garlic sauce.
Nice.
It's good.
My girlfriend got the gnocchi, which was amazing.
I was just going to ask you that. I have not had it yet, and that's my favorite. How's the gnocchi?
It was just unbelievably great.
I'll tell you, it's good food. I have nothing to do with the food. I have actually so little to do with the food over there that the two things that I liked have been taken off the menu. It's the only two things I like.
Adam's one of the few men I know that goes to his own restaurant, and because it's like, you know, Canton Lasagna Menino, he just points at the menu and goes, that thing right there.
Yeah, I'm told they can make what I want, but I never feel like playing that card. But I will say this about, here's how you know it's a good restaurant. You know those restaurants you get a craving for where you go like, I just crave this on any particular night. And they're good restaurants you don't have that for.
Yeah.
You just want to go out and eat. But this restaurant, Amalfi, I do have cravings for sometimes. Hey, Ryan, I wish I could have seen you there on Friday.
Us too. But we had a great time and we're definitely going back. Maybe
happy
next
birthday.
Time.
Well, good
cool.
times.
Happy birthday.
We need to take a break.
My craving for restaurants are called bars. Those peanuts will do.
Hey, Eric.
Yeah, timing's bad.
Eric with a CK? Yeah. Is that true?
There you are.
Eric.
How are you?
Yeah. You spell your name with a CK?
No.
Okay. Just checking. Hey, Eric, you want to talk about the grotto and the Playboy Mansion?
I want to compliment you on 4 hours of sheer hilarity.
Who screams these folks?
Thank
Good
you.
Show.
Hold
Good
on.
Show.
Hold on a second, Eric, because we do want to kind of recap that. Well, let's see. Danny in the grotto with one of the hottest chicks in
Danang.
The place, Danang. I split the second the thing was over, but others hung out. So Ray got naked, jumped in the pool. I want to hear the stories, and we'll give you a little Playboy Mansion recap, as well as something I sort of forget about. We touched on it for a beat or so on the air, but... The lay of the land over there. I realize so many people listening, we're spoiled. We live out here. We're celebrities. We've been up there many, many times for many different events. I feel like most people have seen pictures of it, but they don't really know the majesty, and they don't really know how you enter and how it works and how you exit, and that they have their own like wood shop there. And I mean, it's really, I would liken it to an adult amusement park in that Knott's Berry Farm, Disneyland, whatever the amusement park is, you have to go. There's that point where you're taking the tram and you can see over the fence because some of the ivy died, and you can see some daylight through the fence, and you see there's workstations and there's guys with tools and shops and things. You know, they have to have their own. Well, what a gig, carpenter!
Right.
They have to have their own wood shop and workshop to keep after that place.
Well, I called it my pants.
Take ourselves a quick break. Be back with the Mind's Eye tour of the Playboy Mansion, as well as highlights from the Grotto next.
This is the Adam Carolla Show with Adam Carolla, Danny Bonaduce, and Teresa Strasser. With a sneak peek of this morning's show, The Suit, Program Director Jack Silver.
Gonorrhea, check. Herpes, check. Chlamydia, check. The clap, check. SIM card full of upskirt shots, check. Four new restraining orders, check. Oh, hey there, peeps. Jack Man's just making his post Blotto in the Grotto checklist. Today, actor David Arquette, Music Monday, Oakland Raiders linebacker Kirk Morrison, and from Heroes and Veronica Mars, Kristen Bell. Oh, sweet, maybe she'll sign the Jackman's peachy folder. Wait.
Thank you, Jack. Call 866-901-ADAM. This is the Adam Carolla Show.
Yeah. Well, I thought I'd walk you kiddies through a little virtual tour of the Playboy Mansion.
Bobby!
Playboy Mansion works like this. It's at the end of a cul-de-sac. It's at the end of a street in Los Angeles, off of Sunset Boulevard, near famous Dead Man's Curve, sung about in the Jan and Dean song. I would say that it's, as the crow flies, probably a mile away from UCLA.
Sounds about right.
If you just flew in a straight line from Heff's roof to the roof of UCLA, I think you could do it in less than a mile.
I don't mean to correct you on a thing that doesn't really matter, but there are parts of that campus that are less than 200 feet from Heff's property.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, it goes right up to that next street. It's the end of parts of the UCLA campus.
Yeah, it's a weird region because the streets are like wavy and they all head different directions and it's not gridded off. But
you can actually throw a crow.
You're right there. You're for those listening around the country, you're probably 2.5-3 miles from where O.J. got off the freeway on his low-speed chase, and probably 3 miles or so from O.J.'s pad, if you're looking for the lay of the land. Now, you go down a cul-de-sac street, and at the end of a little cul-de-sac, and by the way, when you're poor, it's called a dead end. When you're rich, it's a cul-de-sac. So, you go to the end of the cul-de-sac. There's a guy there. He's got a clipboard. There's a big gate. The gate opens up, and you go up a very steep driveway. And if you don't look to your left after about 50 feet, you'll miss one of the best shots of the house, which is you stop, and you see the terraced lawn. And there's nothing that says money like a terraced lawn.
And then a rock and stone mansion at the top with several chimneys that just screams. You know, it's almost weird to say with the Playboy Mansion. I guess I've just married to such a straight lady for so long that it seems odd for me to say it's such elegance. But it really is. When you were saying you got to take an idea, and then you were talking about coming in the back way with the carpenters, Amy had never been there before, and I got in the gate and started to drive up, and I got just about that. I was like, wait a second. She should not miss that view. No one should miss that view. And I backed down that tight drive.
Honey,
the beginning. And said,
get your head out of my lap. I want to show you something.
No, I was saving myself, really.
Smart.
She still made me do the four times I told you.
Yeah.
But I knew I had some left. And I said, there's no way I'm wasting it all.
Tried to wring him like a bar rag before she brought him in to mop up over at the Playboy Mansion.
He looked like he had already been ridden. What's the saying?
Ridden hard, put away wet.
I think it's on about 5 acres, which is God knows what in that country. Also, it's very close to, if not almost next door to, Aaron Spelling's Mammoth Mansion, which is right in the same vicinity.
Believe it or not, also from Casey Kasem. Who knew he had that kind of
money? Oh, so, well, you got to understand, people who are making good money in the 70s and the 60s in this town who bought those mansions, you would never stop vomiting if we found out what Hugh paid for that place. And 1971. It was probably, at the time, I think it was about $2 million, but now it's probably worth 50.
Well, I was going to ask you that. If it were not the Playboy Mansion, forgetting it's the you're kind of buying a museum, if you will. Forget that. It was just that house and that property and those lawns and those topiaries on that much ground in that area. What do you think that house would go for?
Well, it is a weird thing about celebrity stuff because I see it with cars. Sometimes there's cars that were owned by celebrities that are worth more, and then sometimes they're just worth what they're worth.
Dude, everybody thinks my stuff would be worth. Oh, I'd put it on eBay and say, Danny Pagliaccio. Nobody's ever cared.
It's really weird for some celebrities. Obviously, for Elvis and folks like that, it's worth a ton. But then for others, it's neither here nor there. I would say that house has to be worth $50 million if it's worth a penny,
without
regardless history. Of what the hell went on in the grotto. Well, I mean,
5 acres alone.
It's 5 acres, and the house is dramatic. And I mean, look, there are places in Malibu that are $40-50 million. I mean, it's ridiculous, but that kind of acreage in that part of the city. It's really hard to estimate.
I'm going to go low end, $35 million.
I'd go 35 low end and 50 at the high end. I mean, it's definitely worth more than 25.
And the cool thing is, recession proof.
Right.
Because people with that kind of dough don't care that prices are going. You could get a better rate. You can't get a better rate. If you got $35 million and you want the Playboy Mansion, you just go get it.
Yeah. Yeah, it's amazing architecturally. The grounds are amazing. So you pull up this driveway, and to your left is the Playboy Mansion. You look up the terraced lawn, and you see it there. And then you drive up to the top, and you get to the sort of a turnaround there, or a roundabout, and there's a fountain, and that's where the front door is. Now, if you head to your right, you'll go to some, like, cottages and some tennis courts, and they have a van room. It's just an all-padded 70s room. And they have a game room, which is has, you know, the Playboy pinball and all, you know, all that good stuff over there. And if you looked at some of the old Playboys from, like, the 70s, 80s and that sort of stuff, they'll see a lot of, there'll be a lot of pictures of the pinball room and the van room and all that kind of stuff. And then the tennis court back there is where they'd have all those roller skating parties of the 60s, 70s, or I should say 70s and 80s.
Now imagine all these beautiful places that Adam is describing to you in really colorful detail, because it's an amazing spot. And then remove his intellect and beauty of painting this picture and imagine those lovely spots as I would, covered with vaginas.
You don't want to leave a snow shovel to clear the walkway.
It can't be overstated. It's not like it's just a beautiful place and they rent it out. No, there really are dozens of naked women wandering.
I was so close to having this so hot Japanese girl coming home with me. She lived in Torrance, and she's standing there naked talking to Amy, and she's normal and nice.
I didn't see a naked Japanese girl.
Probably, for me anyway, I think I have a thing for Asian girls, but I also have a thing for blonde surfer California girls. I think I have a thing for anything with no penis attached to it.
Or sometimes with penis.
No, I wasn't a thing. It was a mistake. But she lived in Torrance, was shivering and cold and this big, and I was this close, and then Amy came to her friggin' senses.
By the way, for Halloween, they really decked the place out, because as you're driving up, they have a huge, like, fake cemetery. Did you see that?
Yeah.
With tombstones?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Did you read any of them?
Yeah, they do. I didn't read any of them.
For people and their jokes and stuff on them.
I been to the Halloween Playboy party in the past, and they do a Halloween haunted house, and everyone's, you know, it's a mess. And then the back, so that's the front side of the house, and the back side of the house is the pool, the grotto, the sort of outdoor bar, the changing areas. There's some sort of weird kind of catacomby downstairs, kind of subterranean, God knows what's going on in it, changing rooms in there. And I'm wondering, you know, I'm trying to think, actually. I'll bet you, if you could be a fly on the wall, there was probably more celebrity humping going on in those changing rooms in the 70s than in the grotto. The grotto, Grotto got all the press and had the it was a big spotlight place. But I'll bet you when the guys wanted a little privacy with Miss November 71, they went to the changing room with the rust color carpet.
Now, I noticed a...
It wasn't rusty before James Caan got to it.
as Adam and I noticed different things, that when he said you could be a fly on the wall, my mind immediately goes to insects and vermin and things like that. And, of course, I thought crabs.
Right, you could be a crab on the wall. Yes.
Anybody see any pubic hair?
No.
No.
Did you see 20 naked women?
Yeah.
Not a stripe, man. When did that happen?
I gotta dig the landing strip. I know it's been happening. There's a couple things going on with that. I feel sorry for the women that aren't as presentable down there. You know, it's like there are guys who have a soft chin, maybe a double chin or something like that, and they grow a beard or a goatee or something, and it helps their cause.
Right.
Yeah.
It's essentially like, you know, you do it. Let's say you have a house and the city's put some sort of fire hydrant hose bib jack thing, you know, some big ugly municipal gray thing or whatever. So you grow a little shrub around it.
Right.
Yeah. And all of a sudden it goes away. Women used to have that option downstairs. Right. As a matter of fact, dig this idea, everybody. Growing up, just looking at old Playboys and whatever porn I could find, and believe me, it was a struggle back then.
Yeah.
All vaginas look the same. As a matter of fact, you just drew a little triangle.
Yeah.
That's all. You just colored in a little triangle. That was that. I didn't know they varied as much as they do. Now that everything has turned into a gynecological exam, I turn on the Playboy channel. I'm like, oh, she's got one of those.
But then
it's like, oh, she's got one of these. And oh, that's a different. I didn't know there was 45 different vaginas.
Right.
Growing up, there was just one.
But don't lose the point of being able to disguise the less attractive ones.
And then...
Some, you remember Mumbles?
They're like snowflakes. They're all beautiful. They're just different.
Oh, no, you're wrong. Some of them are like snowflakes. Some of them are like abalone. Do you remember Mumbles from the Dick Tracy cartoon?
Yes.
He just had that giant... he had giant lips.
Right. Yeah.
He couldn't understand a word he was saying because his lips were so big.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people looked like they had mumbles with them.
There are many different variations of there are many ways that part can go wrong.
Yeah.
I guess is what I'm learning. Again, growing up, when I grew up, seeing the old school porn I grew up with, I had no idea. It was really like the one in the magazine is the same one my mom and my grandma have. It's just, it's sad, it's scary, but that's just how it goes.
How would I know that?
And thank you. And now, the sky's the limit. There appear to be 50 different varieties, and 44 of them are bad.
Let me put it this way, because hopefully this will be a good analogy. You know Libya?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, most of Libya is really nice. But then there are just terrible, terrible, awful, horrible places in Libya run by a bad person, and it's just hideous and disgusting to look at. That's almost Libya.
I see.
Libya, almost the same thing.
Mm. And then Liberia? Is that the same place?
No, that's a bad one with a librarian.
The point, Danny's point, and I think is, and mine the completely bald down there, and it's kind of weird. It's strange because I don't know. Teresa, see if you can figure this out or answer this. Two thoughts. First off, if you don't have, like, I know that wearing a beard may not be in the fashion, but if you have a really bad chin, shouldn't you be the one guy wearing the beard?
Yeah, you'll make it work.
Yeah, you'll make it work, or it's better than the alternative.
Yes.
No chin.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Right? So I do feel like while this is the fashion, most women are going clean down there, it's not a mandate.
Yeah.
You're not going to be arrested. No. You're not going to be thrown in a gulag for people who have hair between their legs. I would say if it's a little tough down there, go ahead and put a little tuft down there.
Yeah.
That's what
that's one thing. And then the other thing, is it somehow more revealing to have pubic hair now? I know it sounds counter whatever, but is that true?
I'm a landing strip guy myself.
Right.
Like, just about a half an inch longer, but just about the same width as Hitler's mustache.
I like a helipad. I like just a big circle.
Right.
With a bullseye carved
in. I'm not an evolutionary biologist, but isn't the point of hair down there to trap your pheromone and thus attract the opposite sex? Isn't that why there is hair?
I would assume there is, yes.
So if you remove all the hair, it's actually less sexy.
I would assume all body hair was left over from when we didn't wear clothes and were cold.
Look at the hair that remains. I don't know that
it's the part you cover.
We don't know that, you know, people want to know, okay, well, what do you need hair underneath your armpits for to keep you warm or what have you?
I don't want to know. I want to know more about vaginas.
I assume, it's a pheromone thing, number one. Number two, though, there's many things that are sort of vestiges of the past that we used to be sexy
and we
now cover them up.
Yeah.
So this may just be one of them. I'm just wondering, if there's five girls and they're all cleanly shaven down there and one girl and she has some hair going on down there, does the one girl with the hair going on down there in a way feel like she's revealing more in a retarded way, backwards kind of way?
I think maybe yes.
I do too, and that's a weird...
I can't explain it, but I agree with you. Think of it this way.
I think I can explain it. I'm not positive, or at least an analogy of an explanation. When you go and you see a bush, and I mean a real bush.
Of which there were none at the Playboy Mansion.
Right, but an actual outdoor bush. It's just growing wild. It's a bush. You turn it into a topiary of a giraffe, you are revealing more and special about that bush, what that bush can be turned
into.
Let's
make it a mailbox, but go ahead.
Fine, good enough. A mailbox makes perfect sense, actually.
Yes, it does.
With a little flag up. That's cool. But do you see my point?
I don't know. Look, here's all I know. I've never thought about this before. It's counterintuitive. You think, well, the less hair, the more revealing. But we're all here thinking and feeling the same way. Even though we can't totally explain it, more hair equals more exposure. I must say, to a point.
In the fetish section of the Hustler store, I don't know if it's a fetish section or just a section. It's
called the front door.
But there is a thing that's all hair.
Yeah.
It's the hairiest woman you'll ever see.
We all have our limits. Call me old-fashioned. Call me Pops Corolla. But I was missing a few pubes.
I agree. Because let me throw out this theory.
And I also found a few.
Let me throw out this theory, which is that no hair looks prepubescent. You sprout hair when you're going through puberty. That's kind of a sexy time. That's when you start getting your secondary sexual characteristics.
I agree. I don't like it visually, but emotionally, I don't like it either. All right, we need to take ourselves a break. When we come back, let's see. Ah, a little homework hotline. How about that? 866-901-ADAM. Kids, call up. It's Monday morning.
Any kind of homework help?
Yes, you got a test due. Your parent, math, English, history. Can't remember how we did this last time.
If we did history, I can be very helpful.
Sure. I have forgotten history.
But you got history. I'm all helpful.
Well, that's what happened. I forgot history. I got to fail, and I was doomed to repeat it.
Very nice.
We'll take ourselves a quick break. Homework hotline, 866-901-ADAM next.
Let's check Adam's voicemail on the Adam Carolla Show.
We're about to get drunk. Ziggy-zaggy, ziggy-zaggy, oi, push, push. Ziggy-zaggy, ziggy-zaggy, oi, push, push.
Call 866-901-ADAM. Now back to Adam Carolla, Danny Bonaduce, and Teresa Strasser on the Adam Carolla Show.
Well, let's do a little homework hotline. 866-901-ADAM. Well, we have an intro. Let's hear it.
I can't do my homework anymore.
Didn't do your homework last night. Don't worry. Call Adam Carolla's homework hotline.
Hey, Reeves.
How you doing?
What's your dilemma, buddy?
Well, see, I don't have a horror dilemma, but I'm an apprentice for the Union Carpenters here in Las Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
And this week I have to go to class. I could also reschedule and get paid for this week, but instead I'm going to class, losing $1,000 for going to work.
Mm-hmm. Now, when you say class, that's a class on being a carpenter.
Yeah, it's pretty pointless.
What do you guys do over there? Do a lot of forming work, things like that?
Well, I'm on the layout crew.
Mm-hmm. So you're laying out. Oh, you mean, but you guys do, like, in Las Vegas, you do a lot of commercial stuff, right?
Yeah, I'm working on the city center right now.
And when you say layout, you mean, like, interior studs?
No, I mean, like, on, like, cement forms, footers, elevation.
Oh, okay. Well, I said you do a lot of forming over there, and you were like, oh, I'm on the layout crew, which is forming, right?
No, I don't do any forming. I put the lines on the ground, and I snap lines.
And then the next guy forms.
Exactly.
All right.
Okay, so do you actually have a homework question for Adam Carolla?
He has a life dilemma. Hey, what do you get an hour over there as an apprentice carpenter?
Right now I'm getting $22.50 an hour.
Jesus.
It's not too bad, and you get all the benefits and everything?
Yeah, and I'm 20 years old, and I own a house, and I got two new vehicles.
And you ex-military?
No, I'm actually too tall to get in the military.
Well, what? Huh?
How tall are you?
I'm going to go 6'8".
6'9".
6'9". Now, obviously, you know, you can't fit any foxholes, so they don't want you.
Exactly.
As a matter of fact, though, give me Rangy. Put him in my platoon. I like a guy whose head's hanging up about 3 foot farther than mine so we can get shot off.
So we can snipe, yeah.
Right. What is the cutoff for the military in height?
6'8".
It's weird because you know there's a bottom cutoff for most things, cops, military, stuff like that, but I didn't know there was a ceiling. It makes sense. Although Shaq's working the beat over in Dade County somewhere, Shaq, but the point is, that's kind of cool. But was your dad a military guy?
He was, actually. He was a paratrooper.
You see, it's very easy to figure out anything you want to do over the phone. He's a 20-year-old guy who says, I own two vehicles.
Vehicles.
20-year-old guys don't say vehicle.
They say cars.
Yes. You ever want to know, like, if you're talking to a 50, 55-year-old guy who goes, I had to put fuel in my vehicle.
Yeah,
that's a guy who has a pilot's license because he doesn't say gas; he says fuel.
What about the lady the other day?
Lesbian
who insisted on saying negative, and that's affirmative.
Remember when I said lesbian?
Yes,
that's affirmative.
Lesbian from the service, or just lesbian who likes to say affirmative and positive?
That's a Roger penis dodger.
You got it. I'm glad you still think I'm a dodger. Glad you think I don't have decided to just stand still for it.
Hey, Reeves, sorry. Yeah, school will look, buddy. You're 20 years old. You have the world by the tail. You want to be a carpenter and a journeyman and not an apprentice. I would say forego the money for now and go to school.
Yeah, I know. It's got my...
Take one of your many vehicles to the classroom. All right? Semper Fi, and keep your powder dry, and duck your head before you go into any doors. Why? He's 6'9", and all door jams are 6'8".
You know my dilemma.
Yeah.
You know mine.
I've never hit my head on anything. That's the thing. For those, you want to feel sorry for people, feel sorry for anyone 6'7" and above. Because every door jam is 80 inches. And when I say every, I mean 90% of door jams in a house are 80 inches. That's 6'8". Anyone over that with their shoes on is going to have to duck when they go from one room to the next.
Upside for this guy.
You what?
There's an upside for this guy.
Which is what?
You can pre-board planes.
Oh, you can?
Yep. Anything over 6'6", you can pre-board.
Right, except for your knees are behind your ears and coats for the entire flight.
I didn't say it was a comfortable thing, but
you
when
might
they
get
say
one of those deep vein
like
thrombosis
ladies with
things.
Kids and people right. in wheelchairs, anybody over 6'6" can go get in.
Well, it's a very popular jag of mine, but the pre-boarding, let's just say, let's remove the word plane for a second for all those. Because I've said many times, I fly first class most all the time. Why? Because most of the flying I do is provided by somebody else. I don't do much flying for pleasure. I do it for business. And if you want me to come to New York to do whatever it is, you send over a couple of first class tickets. That's how the game works. And you get first class tickets and you get to pre-board.
Right.
And I've always complained, what's the advantage of pre-boarding? Because for everyone else, the flight to New York is 5 hours and 20 minutes. And for me, it's 6 hours because I've been sitting on the effing plane for 40 minutes watching you give me the stink eye while you bang my knee with your Samsonite. But let's forget it. Here's the best point I can make about pre-boarding. Forget about the mode of transportation. Forget about the airplane. Let's call it a bus. hey, everybody, we're taking a bus. We're taking it from Burbank to Detroit City. Now, the bus leaves at 3 in the afternoon, but you, Teresa,
yeah,
you can get on it, too. So go sit on the bus. You have a first-class ticket. You paid 10 times as much for your ticket as everyone else on the bus. You get to get on for 45 minutes earlier and sit on the bus. Now, what is your answer? Why don't you come get me at the bar? I'll be ironically drinking a Greyhound. Come get me at the bar when everyone else is loaded on the bus, and then we'll leave. That's what you do when you have a first-class ticket. Now, again, somehow with the airplane, it's an honor. Every time you fly, it's like, first-class tickets. Those are kind of first-class tickets. And then they get nervous. Mr. Carolla, we're paid you. And I'm always like, why the F do I want to be on this plane for an extra hour? Again, forget plane. Let's just make it a bus. Do you want to go get on the bus and sit on the bus for an extra 45 minutes? The answer, of course, is no. Why? Because you're going to be sitting there for the next 6 hours. Why should you make it 7 hours? Sorry.
No, I said perfectly
helping
reasonable.
Helping people with their homework.
Yes.
You can just do that, though, by the way.
What?
If you have the first class ticket, let everybody get on. Your big, fat first-class seat will be sitting there.
Oh, I do.
Yeah, so do
it's
I.
Just they start getting weird and panicky and start going after you and wanting to know where you are. Richard?
Yes.
You have a test?
Yes.
What is the test in?
Genetics.
Genetics?
Yes.
All right. A tough one.
Listen, all I know is that white people are better. That's the only thing I know about genetics.
Richard, where do you go?
Talked to me by my Klansman grandfather many years ago when we used to make whiskey in Kentucky.
Yes, hello. My name is Graham
His name
Wellington.
Was Grandpa Graham Wellington.
Where do you go to school, Richard?
Pacific, University of the Pacific.
Oh. Mm-hmm. Wait a minute. Where is that?
Stockton, south of Sacramento.
I got recruited to play football there. You guys must have a crappy team.
We've been undefeated for like 10 years.
Ooh.
Oh, yeah, but you'd have to go back 20 or more.
You discontinued the program.
Oh, because we don't have a team.
Oh, you don't have a team. Yeah.
Hey, that's pretty funny.
That's because all the genetics like that, in that area suck, and everybody's about 4 feet tall.
Richard, yes. How old are you?
About 23.
And you have a genetics class or test coming up.
Yes.
And do you need help with one particular question or the concept of genetics?
Oh, no, I've been partying all weekend, so I'm not really prepared for this test.
Mm-hmm. And now what are you studying other than genetics? Does that make you pre-med or something?
Pre-pharmacy.
Well, wait a minute.
I can get you through this.
By the way, you're not going to be able to work in Los Angeles. Your English is way too good. If you want to be a pharmacist in the county of Los Angeles, you must have a crazy nationality and a crazy language. And I don't just mean one you've seen before. I'm talking about parts, even like heavyset white chicks who are sort of Russian but kind of Baltic, and you have no effing idea what they're saying.
Look, I don't speak Spanish.
You can't communicate. That's the one language you don't have to worry about. Ironically, in Los Angeles, half the populace speaks Spanish. Right. Zero pharmacists speak Spanish. They've picked other languages to butcher.
Yeah.
You can't have a conversation with one of them over the phone. There's no such thing as an English-speaking, or at least English as a first language-speaking pharmacist in Los Angeles County. So you'll not be able to work here if you get through pharmacy school.
But there's light at the end of that tunnel, too. You will not be able to understand anything they want but the medicine, because I don't speak a word of Spanish, but I could get you neoprepodecanate. In any pharmacy in Tijuana.
In Tijuana, right.
But guys, they do learn keywords.
Richard?
Yes.
Do you have a specific question?
No, not really.
And what do you study in genetics?
DNA, like recombination right now. I've studied about DNA recombination right now.
Mm-hmm. Is there something us lay people would be interested in knowing about that?
No.
Okay.
All right. I'm glad we have this chat.
I like a man who's passionate about his work, too. All right, Richard.
Yeah.
Good times.
Go away.
Wow. Is charm recessive or dominant as far as genetic traits go? Just curious. Maybe one or both of his parents were charming and it just didn't,
well,
I don't
depends
know.
On if you're right-handed or left-handed or just have your foot in your mouth. Is that Kevin's thing?
We need to take ourselves a break. Wait, we have an outro? I don't think we've earned
thanks
an outro.
This homework hotline.
I can't do my homework anymore.
Class dismissed. I think it really helped some people.
All right, I didn't help anybody, but I think if people use my bus analogy instead of the Playboy, instead
of
plane,
I should
say. A lot of
our listeners deal with this kind of issue.
Well, I'm sure. I'm just saying, getting on a bus an hour early is no great thrill, is it?
No other show this morning happened to. This just dawned on me. We were talking about landing strips and airplanes simultaneously. Without speaking about the same subjects.
Interesting.
That's kind of cool.
We need
this show go.
To take our hell in the basket. We need to take ourselves a break, T.
Well, David Copperfield is landing himself in some trouble with the FBI. We will talk about that.
I have that whole breakdown from TMZ. Did I play that last week?
No, but there's actually been developments since then. Mm-hmm. I will let you know what they are. And also a great internet revenge story.
All right. So the Copperfield thing that I think everyone's been hearing about, but don't exactly know what's going on.
It's complicated.
They raided his warehouse. They found cash, but there's rape and an island involved. We have not only the breaking news, but I have a whole sort of detailed linear sort of layout of what he's accused of and what he's accused of doing and how the whole thing works. It is diabolical. So we'll do that as well as the rest of the news next.
Mr. Courtney Cox, David Arquette, from Veronica Mars and Heroes, Kristen Bell.
Cool, thanks.
And we'll talk to Oakland Raiders middle linebacker, Cook Morrison. Phone number's 866-901-ADAM. Live from Los Angeles, it's the Adam Carolla Show.
Good times. T-Bone.
Yep.
The news, baby girl.
Teresa Strasser with tomorrow's news. Today.
Early yesterday morning, 7 college students, 6 of them from the University of South Carolina and 1 from Clemson, were killed in a massive fire that engulfed their weekend beach house in Ocean Isle Beach, North Carolina. Here's South Carolina's Vice President of Student Affairs, Dennis Pruitt, comments on the tragedy.
Anytime there's a human life lost, it pains us all. We're deeply saddened by this. Any parent, any person who knows a young person who's died, it just has to be taken aback by it. And we don't compare tragedy to tragedy. Every tragedy is sadly one that we wish we never had to face.
I always think to myself, how does this work? I mean, when I hear about people dying in a fire.
Yeah.
I'm such a light sleeper, and I was sort of half on fire last night because it was 80 goddamn degrees in my room, so I wasn't really asleep. But I just feel like no matter where I was in my house, there's no window I wouldn't throw a chair through, and even though I would cut my belly up in my underpants, it would be virtually impossible, I feel like, to burn in your house. Don't you sort of feel that way? Like, I know people are like, well, they were asleep. Like, I understand the one where you're smoking and you're loaded and you fall asleep with a cigarette. By the way, I grew up turning on the news and every third story was about someone who fell asleep while they were smoking. Evidently, nobody does that anymore, or we don't talk about it. But I understand the super drunk guy that passed out while smoking and lit his bed on fire.
Right.
But the part where you wake up in the middle of the night because you smell smoke and the nose never really shuts off for me. Like somebody breaks wind in the middle of the night. I'm aware of it. Like, I feel like I would smell smoke and then there's 5 different directions I could head. I'm not blaming anyone. I'm just wondering how this happens. Does the house blow up? How does it happen that you just can't make it to a window? Do people get smoke inhalation while they're asleep and like essentially die in their beds?
That's what I would think. Also, the mayor of the town says that the house had working smoke detectors.
Wow.
So maybe this house just what got engulfed in flames.
Can I
too fast?
Very quickly ask a related question before I forget again.
Sure.
I'm furnishing my house. It's almost done. Where do you buy ashtrays these days? Nobody sells ashtrays. I've been everywhere. Nobody sells ashtrays. You know where I'm going to go? Color me mine.
Make yourself an ashtray?
I need like 10. I chain smoke. I need ashtrays in every room, sometimes several.
I know, but are you going to put your initials on them?
And my kids and draw cats? Yes, of course. But I mean, if I'm going to go to Color Me Mine, why wouldn't I do the whole thing? But I'm dead serious. Nobody sells ashtrays.
Can you just go in and buy the unfinished ashtrays?
No, because what you do is you put water in the bottom of a cup. And that absorbs into the cigarette butts till you can put a whole pack out in an inch of water.
Right.
Because the butts soak it up and they get wet.
Right.
And then you knock it over. And that stain will never come up and it stinks forever. I need ashtrays, man. And nobody sells ashtrays anymore.
Yep. Ashtrays and pubic hair. Something we just don't have anymore.
Yeah, those
okay,
were
well, I don't really want to put my cigarette out in some chick's pubes as much as I'd like to have a place to relax my stomach while I have my soda.
Well, two good names for TSV, Color Me Mine and the ashtray.
Okay. Let's move on to David Copperfield.
Thank you. But that was important to me, so thank you very much. I didn't want to forget.
A U.S. federal grand jury is investigating allegations that the renowned musician raped and threatened an aspiring model after...
Magician, I think you meant.
Magician, thank you. After luring her to his private island in the Bahamas.
Mm-hmm.
Now, here, a Seattle woman she's claiming rape. Here's another woman, not the woman who's claiming she was raped, but a different woman who describes what is rumored to be Copperfield's system for picking up women in his audience.
One of his assistants came to where we were sitting and just said, if you guys would just wait, David wants to meet you. And I said, I can't bring my husband. And she said, no. He took a picture with me with the digital camera. And he took like a full body shot and then a head shot and then made me turn and do almost like a profile shot. She gave me a survey to fill out, asked me what kind of jeans I like to wear, the whole cologne question, some personal questions. I think there was like your height and your weight, describing what you look like, all that. And then she talked about the Bahamas. I got an email from one of his assistants saying David would like to contact you.
Now, the woman who's claiming that she was raped never went to the Vegas show. She was singled out during a show in Seattle, where she lives, back in January. Mm. Copperfield used the woman on stage during his act. Then he brought her backstage after the show, told her he could help her with her modeling career, and invited her to the Bahamas, where he owns a group of islands.
She's married.
The 21-year-old who's alleging rape? No, that's just the woman who was...
That's the last girl that was saying about his M.O. This is his M.O. That's a different woman.
Yeah, the M.O. one's married, and this one isn't married.
As far as I know, she's 21. She's an aspiring model. I don't think she is married, but I don't know that for sure.
Can we discuss for one moment?
Yes.
All right, she's in his audience, so she's paid money to see him to begin with. Mm-hmm. He picks her up, and she does a magic trick on stage, and probably thrilled. Then one of the richest entertainers in the world, and not a terrible looking guy, says, do you want to go to the Bahamas? And she says yes. At some point, I imagine she's now in her bikini romping on the beach. Now, of course, none of this guarantees sex.
Well,
but I am thinking a rape charge is going to be hard to prove.
Well, let me add, if I may.
I'm always curious how it... And again, I don't want to sound insensitive, but you go to an island with a guy who is covered in spray tan and Grecian formula. He's invited you to his island as his guest. You go alone. I imagine he's a single guy. How does it even ever get to rape? I mean, obviously, as Danny said, you're a big Copperfield fan, or let's call him Coppertone now. He's so tan.
Very nice.
David Coppertone.
David Coppertone.
You're a big fan of the thin orange man who used to date Claudia Schiffer.
Right.
By the way, good enough for Claudia Schiffer, good enough for me would be the way I looked at it if I was a female.
Yep.
But you're a huge fan of the guy. Then the guy invites you to his island, and you're single, and he's good looking, and he's rich enough to own an island, and you go to the island, and you have a couple of cocktails. Like, how does he even... Why aren't you just having sex with him in the airport? I guess would be my question.
Yeah.
Well, let me just finish the story. Maybe this will enlighten Copperfield. Now, she's saying that she was raped and struck during her two-day stay on the island. Before escorting her to a plane so she could leave, Copperfield allegedly threatened her to keep her quiet. She went to the police when she got back to Seattle.
Threatened to saw her in half.
He wanted to make the allegation disappear. She went to the police, and they said they couldn't help her because the crime occurred in the Bahamas.
Mm-hmm.
So she went to a rape crisis center and was examined for evidence of sexual assault. So she may have some kind of forensic evidence.
They pulled a rabbit out of her. That's how they knew.
Yeah, but the problem was it was dead, so she was pregnant. It'd
be funny if they just kept pulling scarves. You just see the rape crisis guy, and she's getting the examination, and the guy goes underneath the sheet, and he pulls the scarf out, and he just keeps going and going and going.
Well, she went to the U.S. Attorney's office, and...
This, by the way, is not funny.
Right.
You know what?
If you say horrible things, but you end it with, that's not funny.
Then you get away with it?
That's right.
I don't know. I'm going to stand by it. Okay. That there's funny aspects to this, and I don't believe her. So, I don't believe her.
Well, you can be 21
yeah.
and go to a guy's island yeah. and be drunk and right. still be raped.
You want to tell us?
Of course you can.
Right. Right.
You want to tell us a story about Doug Henning and a very young Teresa Strasser?
I don't like to talk about that.
I mean, you can do any of these
I thought
things.
He was going to help my modeling career.
He raped her in a magic van.
Tell you what, he raped my eyes.
I'm just telling you, there's going to be 12 angry men that are not going to believe this young lady.
Yes, look.
Well, you can be raped in a dark alley by a stranger and the jury won't believe you. So I don't know. She's going to...
Here's how my sympathy works for this kind of stuff. See, we live in a society where rape is rape and death is death and everything's everything. But for me, I just go ahead and pro-rate things.
Right.
Or pro-rape.
Right.
Which
you're
is,
pro-rape?
You tell me, this guy died.
Rape.
This guy, this guy died eating.
Modifications.
Oh, it's
rape,
listen.
Murder, arson, and rape.
You said rape twice.
I like rape.
You tell me a guy died eating breakfast, and I go, that's a tragedy. And
right.
then I say, how old was he? And you say, 92. And I go, all right.
He could chew.
Yeah,
that's
awesome. All right, he had a good life. But if you tell me the guy's 34, I go, holy Christ, that's horrible. If you tell me a woman was jogging through the park pushing a stroller
right.
and was brutally raped in front of her twins, I say, oh, that is horrible.
Well,
you tell me, tell me a chick went to an island with a Copperfield
after
and,
paying to see him,
put down a few coladas, and it's bad, but to me doesn't go into the same category, and here's why. It's not fair to the people that were brutally raped while jogging through the park with the twins and the stroller. You see,
yeah.
if everything is a 10, it's not fair to the people who actually had to suffer, you know, I mean, if every injury, if every tragedy, if everything is way out, you know, if it, let's put it this way. If a guy backhands you with an open hand and that's assault, then I feel like the guy who got jumped and had the crap beat out of him with a pool cue, it diminishes what happened to him.
Right.
Because it's all a 10.
I agree.
And we're living in a society now where there's no shades of gray. It's just everyone was raped. Everything's a tragedy. Everything was horrible. Your husband of 20 years could have rolled over on you on your waterbed, and that's right now. I don't like that. I know technically everything is rape now, but I don't like that you hear, like, you know, it's like this celebrity's brought up on assault charges.
And no means
who did he assault? And they show him pushing the paparazzi who was in front of him while he was trying to get to his car. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Nobody deserves this. We'll find out what happened. But when you go to the island with Copperfield, you have to expect something. And what's magicians? These people are horribly flawed.
Yeah.
Think about this life. First off, a quiet, solitary, antisocial life of you just staying in your mom's basement and
wearing
practicing your
silver dollar on your knuckles at 100 miles an hour.
Your retarded tricks. And then most magicians do almost no talking on stage. You're completely antisocial. And like I said, whenever a woman shows up, they either saw them in half or make them disappear.
Ooh.
This one didn't work out either way.
Symbolically,
I would like
think
to point out to Teresa, because you said, of course, a woman in a dark alley can be raped and a jury still won't believe them, which is...
It's very difficult to get a conviction on a rape.
Well, I don't know that to be true or not. I know that it's very hard to get a conviction because the woman has to relive it and tell that story. But in all earnestness, if any man on an island tried to rape you, how hard would you fight?
Well, if I was going to leave this earth, I'd just have to take one of his eyes.
Okay, so you'd fight hard.
Yeah.
You would. So therefore, he'd fight hard. So you'd probably be fairly carved up. So when you got to the emergency room, there wouldn't be a DNA test, and they'd go, oh, my God, look at this victim.
Here's what happens, and then I'll play this clip that'll sort of lay everything out. Here's the God's honest. most people that get victimized later on in life were victimized earlier on in life. Not all the time, not the woman jogging through the park, but those stories of the person that was raped at the party in the next room and they froze and you said, why didn't you just cry out? Someone would have heard you. And they say, I froze. And you go, why didn't you push him off or beat him off? Or, you know what I'm saying? Or get him off of you. And they say, I just froze. Most of the time, if you were victimized in the past, you tend to freeze.
I would agree.
And not only does that mean you're easier to rape, but oftentimes for the guy who's raping you, it means I'm not raping you. You're right. Not fighting me off.
People
You've
go
not
victim
said
hunting,
anything.
It and
also
if you don't make
means,
a good victim,
right,
they move on.
He's not getting off.
Right.
That's why men of stature and good looks still commit rape, is because they're into the violence and the power. It's a crime of power.
All I know is when I found out that Yanni beat the crap out of his wife, Linda Evans, or whoever he was with, that was awesome.
Yeah.
This could top that.
Wow.
This could top that and the just sort of against type creepy dude thing. If I find out that Copperfield, if more women come out of the woodwork and start explaining that he did this, and evidently this is what he did, according to T-Zone TMZ, we have this sort of chronology of how it works. Brian, me holding
late
up
night
the
hotel
thing
visits.
20
Brittany,
minutes ago.
Dude. Just what are you going to say to that custody judge?
It was not.
That may not cut.
That's Brittany.
I'm David Copperfield. Some people call me an escape artist.
One woman is calling the magician a sexual attacker.
It's good writing, by the way. But now play the long one. That was just the lead-in.
For the last 6 years, Copperfield's show has been designed around audience participation. But one source tells TMZ it's basically a system for picking up women. During his show, David goes into the audience and chooses women to come on stage.
He created a great amount of drama. It was for a goal, to get the girl at the end.
We're told if David likes a girl, he'll use code words with his assistants like mama and secrecy. The assistants mark them on a map inside the Hollywood Theater at the MGM Grand. After the show, they're brought backstage. That's where the profiling begins. The women are told David may use them in his show when he comes to their hometown. They are then photographed on a digital camera, then ask questions like what is their favorite men's cologne and where they like to vacation.
Yeah.
And then they answer.
I'm just telling you, this thing is going to get bigger before
I think more
it goes
women will come out.
Oh, of course they will.
It's going to be great.
I told you that I'm having my condo, if Amy and I happen to break up between moments from now, I'm having that plaque put outside my door and hoping everybody notices the second line that says, this condominium is under constant video surveillance inside and out. So they will know, and hopefully not really put two and two together, that anything that happens in that house, I will have a tape of.
Right.
Except in the bathrooms.
If they need to make a number. Oh. Yeah, this will be great. And, you know,
I'm not taking
you know what I like? It's nice as a society because our spidey sense was tingling about Copperfield for about the last 20 years. There wasn't a dude or a chick on this planet other than Claudia Schiffer who wasn't weirded out by the guy who was like, all we could do is kind of, because he had the permatan and the pirate shirt on, but we're all like kind of creeped out. That just shows that we're calibrated. We're right. We're right to be creeped out by him. All
so
right,
does that mean you and I are right about Billy Bush for no reason? We just don't like him.
Yes.
Something's going to come out later.
Bush, where's your rape island?
I don't know. I don't know what it is, but you guys have now won me over. He didn't used to be so ridiculously excited. And then coming up, we've got the...
Oh, Billy Bush.
Yeah.
Do I have time for this internet revenge story?
Yes, I want to hear it.
A 34-year-old named Pilar Stofega of Connecticut. I'll call her Pilar.
Okay.
Dated a man in Waterford, Connecticut, whose
name... Definitely not a Jew.
Yeah, whose name has not been released. When he broke up with her, she was clearly not ready for the relationship to end. Because now, a full 8 years later, Pilar has been arrested for trying to break up the guy's new marriage. Here's what she did. 8 years later... Over the summer, Pilar spent hours posting profiles on adult websites featuring the guy's wife. Pilar included the woman's name, her home and work phone numbers, and her high school yearbook photo. According to police, Pilar's goal was, quote, to be vindictive, knowing the profiles would create marital problems between her ex and his wife. The guy eventually figured out what was happening, because strange men started calling the house, asking for his wife and telling him different websites where they'd seen her profile. So the guy researched it online.
Your book picture?
Yeah. That's all she could probably get her hands on. The husband researched it online, and eventually he figured out that the person posting as his wife kept using the screen name Hot Chica 70. So he Googled that. It led to a YouTube profile with Pilar's name on it. So she didn't hide her tracks very well. So he called the cops, and she's been charged with second-degree harassment and breach of peace. She didn't say why she was still hung up on the guy after 8 years. And in that time, not only did he get married, she got married.
Yeah.
Wow. Pilar married and still spending her time getting revenge on this guy
or trying to humiliate
the girl. Very strange.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, that's bad for him, but it's worse for her husband.
I know.
Yeah. Being with a woman who's obsessed with an ex, that's got to be the worst.
8 years later. And you could like you said, we're calibrated. I mean, you could probably sense it. If somebody's still hung up on their ex, you probably know.
Guys have the ability to tune out. That is our greatest gift and our worst liability when it comes to relationships. We have the ability to tune out. And us tuning out works good for certain situations, but it's horrible for others. And this is why we get into trouble in relationships, because we have the ability to tune out. And the chicks say they want something from us, and we tune out. And they say they want some attention, and we tune out. And they say they want us to notice them or think they're beautiful, and we tune out. And then eventually they tune into another guy's unit.
Yeah.
And then they tell us. And that's one of the few things we're able to focus on.
Yeah.
As a guy. Those parts where we've tuned out of the relationship, but they've tuned into another guy's junk, that part we'll tune into.
Yes, and it always bothers me.
We go from not interested at all to very interested very quickly, and women know that, and it's sort of oftentimes a desperation last card that they play.
Well, you were here when Gretchen called in the show and asked me to please tell people it was safe to date her and that I wouldn't hurt them.
Mm-hmm.
Remember? Yeah. She said, I can't find a date. I thought she was trying to do a bit, although she's
helpful?
Never been funny in 17 years. except that time she said yes, because I laughed because I thought she was kidding. But she was deadly serious. She could not get a date to this ball. People would say, like a guy would say yes, had not seen the show or heard anything. But one of his buddies would say, you can't go out with her, dude. Danny Bonaduce will come to your house, gouge your eyes out. You can't do it. And then they'd not go. So, yeah, that's a thing guys are known to fix in on. The next, you don't care about her at all. But she moves on to the next guy, and all of a sudden, you're fascinated.
Interesting.
T-Bone?
I'm Teresa Strasser. That's the news.
Tomorrow's news. Today, Teresa Strasser. QCNN.
Hey, remember that beautiful Kristen Bell from Veronica Mars who was in here earlier this year, last year? When the hell was that? Anyway, she's now on Heroes. Heroes is one of those shows that everyone says, I don't know, kind of reminds me, I guess Heroes reminds me of where Lost was about 3 years ago. Right. Everyone talking about it, are you watching it, what's going to happen next week? So she is now joined the cast of Heroes, and we'll talk to the beautiful Kristen Bell next.
Back to the Adam Carolla Show with Adam Carolla, Danny Bonaduce, and Teresa Strasser. Monday nights at 9 on NBC, Heroes.
Yeah, I was hoping you could help me. I'm looking for a guy. His name's Peter Petrelli.
Never seen him before.
Thing is, I talked to a few people from the docks. They said they saw him in here. So either you're lying or all those other people are lying. It's kind of hard to tell who's lying, you know?
Kristen Bell is on the Adam Carolla Show.
You know she was hot, by the way, because she was voted best-looking girl as a senior in high school. Kristen?
Yeah?
Where did you go to high school?
a Shrine of the Little Flower in Detroit, Michigan.
Oh.
It's kind of easy to be the prettiest girl in any part of Detroit, Michigan.
Was there a lot of competition for that best-looking girl?
I went to school with a lot of beautiful girls, but I think that might have been rigged by my friends. I don't know. I don't know if I trust those things.
Do they still have all that stuff? Because when I went to junior high and high school, they had best body and best physique and best looking. And I feel like in today's climate,
No.
That wouldn't go over very well.
I remember we had best body because Doug Woodland won it. And I didn't like him very much. And, yeah, they had best look and stuff like that. And now they have games that you're not even allowed to win because that would imply the other players lost.
Mm. Hey, Kristen Bell?
Yes.
When did you graduate high school?
98.
Jeez, just a kitten.
My God.
No, she went to my alma mater, NYU, but she had to drop out to star in a Broadway show.
Oh, right. Yeah.
You had to drop out to work at Fantastic Sam's. What happened?
I did.
I worked at Peppermint Park scooping ice cream, but Kristen was on Broadway.
Yeah.
Fantastic Sam's the musical. He's like, I gotta drop out for this.
How long would you like your bangs?
Your bangs.
What is that blue dye you keep in the jar with the combs?
Hey, I'm never gonna get tired of this.
Kristen Bell, so you go to NYU from Detroit and you go to NYU to study theater?
Yeah.
And you drop out to
do... Music. I studied musical theater.
Right. And you drop out to do musical or to do Broadway. And what...
Yeah, it was a Broadway musical. I booked my first Broadway musical when I was in my third year. And so I left. And I tried to go back to school, but it's so hard because the schedules don't sort of allow for each other. So I still have like 6 credits to go or something.
Yeah, going back to school is sort of like staying with the guy you were dating in high school from your hometown after you come to Hollywood and hit it big. It's
right.
Just, you sort of look at it and you go, it's nothing in it for me anymore.
It isn't what I thought it was.
Right. So
I really want that degree. Like, I want the piece of paper more than anything, but it would be very difficult to go back and sit in the classroom, especially like as an actor where like a lot of the things you do are like very hands-on.
Well, I know, right. I know you're incredibly young. But my girlfriend is going back for her master's?
Right.
She's going back for it. She's only 25. And she says that because of today's technology, she barely has to go to a classroom at all.
With acting, it's different because it's like you're in a room with a bunch of other actors and you're doing like...
That's true. That's
stuff.
True.
Well... You know what you should do? You should walk up to your professor and you go, do you think yourself as an accomplished actor? And they'll go, yeah. And you'll go, act like I was here all semester, Dick, and give me a piece of paper for my publicist. Write something really nasty about you in the Post.
Show them one of your checks for $100,000, and then where the memo says four, it says acting.
Let me
show them yours.
Right.
Let me ask Kristen Bell. You just joined the cast of Heroes. It's a great show. It's a huge hit. I can't understand what's going on that show. When you got the part... Did you have to go back and watch all the episodes?
I would have, but I had actually seen the first season. Heroes was the only show I watched last year because I don't watch much television, which is ironic and I think bad since I'm on TV. But I had been following it from the beginning, and the plot lines do, you know, get really confusing. But luckily, I'd seen the first season.
So it's kind of nice that a show you're a fan of, as a matter of fact, one of the only shows you've been watching, hits you up to be on the show, or did it work that way? Did you reach out to them?
Oh my God, are you kidding? It's the nicest thing ever. It was kind of mutual. I have a lot of friends that work on the show in random ways, so I was sort of...
Did you know Hayden before?
What?
Did you know Hayden Panettiere before? Had you worked with her?
I did. I've known Hayden since she's been like 8 years old.
Really?
That was 3 years ago.
Yeah.
Did you work on a project together, or just knew her from around?
I knew her from New York because when I was there going to NYU, we had the same agent, and she, you know, was always bopping around the city as like this little sort of adult person in a very tiny person's body.
Well, she's only 18,
yeah.
Right?
Just turned 18.
So you're Kristen, you're 27, 28?
27, yeah.
27. So, I mean, that's quite a difference for you to be hanging out with her, or at least to know her, but as coincidence would have it, you had the same agent. Now, was she instrumental in getting you on the show?
No, I mean, I think that, well, you know what, I don't know. I think that she probably put in a good word. I think that I hung out with some of the writers at Comic-Con. I think that's sort of what did it. But
you must have caused a riot at Comic-Con.
Oh.
God, it's amazing. I've done it for 4 years in a row. It's like, it's an alternate universe.
I did it the first time this year, and I just, as a representative from the radio station, and it was one of the weirder things I've seen. I've now did the erotic exotic ball the other night. That was bizarre. And anime conventions are the only two things I could compare to Comic-Con.
Well, it's kind of smart to have your beautiful young actress client go to Comic-Con and hang out with a few writers who are obviously struck by your beauty and super uber nerds. They'd imagine if you show them any attention at all, they're going to be smitten with you and thus make it that much easier for you to get into the project.
I don't know. These guys, the writers on Heroes, are pretty smart. They're pretty...
That's what I mean.
That's what he means,
they're a little bit nerdy because of what they're into.
Shocking.
They're kind of stellar guys. But we did ride the train back together, and we had sort of... I talked about what a fan I was, and they had, like, the last television show I did, and blah, blah, blah. It all was a big
mess. When exactly did you join the show?
I started shooting in September, but my first episode aired last week.
Okay, so you weren't at Comic-Con this year as a member of the cast, then?
No.
Oh,
because I went because the last show I did, Veronica Mars, is still pretty big at Comic-Con.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
right.
By the way, I've read that you were also offered a role on Lost.
That is so amazing to me that that is actually in print, because that was a big rumor that I found out about from someone else after it had been on the internet for like 3 days.
So
when are you doing Lost?
It's just a rumor.
Like, just a rumor. And what about...
Well, I mean, there was interest, and they definitely called to say, would you ever do a role on Lost, blah, blah, blah. I know they were talking about it, but the difference between that, which happens all the time in Hollywood, and actually an offer is kind of a huge step, and I never got an offer for Lost.
Yeah, but everything is getting screwed up these days. I've realized somebody, we're talking to Kristen Bell, by the way, newest cast member of Heroes Monday Nights tonight, 9 o'clock NBC. Jimmy sent me an article from like the New York, from the Globe or some tabloid that talked about Howie Mandel having a house next door to Jimmy. And they called him a germophobic comedian and all this and that and the other. Howie Mandel has a house next door to my house, not Jimmy's house.
Right.
We've talked about it a couple of times.
So interchangeable
we
with most people.
Talked about it with Howie on the air, but yet it just goes down in print as next door to Jimmy's. And as I've said many times, until they write about you, you don't have any idea how often they get things wrong. Kristen, you must see that all the time.
Oh, yeah.
And
absolutely.
It's now.
And then you hear it from someone else.
Yeah, and you can print a retraction or say it never happened, but it doesn't matter. People are busy and they move on. And that's just how it goes. And then everything just spreads like wildfire on the internet. Hey, Kristen, you have the ability to manipulate electricity.
Yes.
That's your character. I mean, that's the skill. That's your superpower. And how does that work? Like, you could fire up a toaster oven from across the room?
Yeah, I can do virtually anything. The one thing about my character that's different from everyone else is that she's had this power and been training with it since she's been around 5 years old. So she does it all the time. She loves it. She's really comfortable with it, and she's really good at it. It's not like a struggle.
Right. Mm-hmm. Those some of the other like cast members don't have it.
Laugh.
Remember The Greatest American Hero?
Yes. Well,
this is well before
Kristen
you were
doesn't,
born. Yeah.
Yes.
But he became a superhero when he put on this suit, but he had no real control over it. He'd be flying and then forget how to fly and crash out of the sky. And there are some of the cast members not that inept, but don't really know how to use their powers. You're a super expert. Could you, does it always end up in an explosion, or could you light the end of my cigarette from 50 paces?
Oh, completely. Completely. And the thing about her is that she really likes to do it, and she sort of she goes around shocking people just for fun.
She owns it. All right, Kristen Bell, we'll be watching Heroes tonight, Monday night, 9 o'clock on NBC. Hey, good luck to you. Continued success.
Yeah, congratulations.
Thank you.
And come see us in person soon.
You see,
Very
easy on the eyes is
girl.
Kristen Bell.
She's adorable when she came in last time.
Interesting credits this young lady has.
World's, she's a real talent.
World's sexiest vegetarian.
Number 11 on the Maximum's Hot 100. Let's see. PETA named her World's Sexiest Vegetarian again. Nominated for 2 Teen Choice Awards. She's got some odd, like, awards.
No, I like this one. Jane Magazine's named her one of the 11 people you'd most want to see naked.
Oh, that's what it was. That's what I was looking for. I couldn't find it.
Yeah.
Why 11?
I don't know. For me, I go 10 or 15 on people I want to see naked.
For me, I go 1 to 10,000 and hope for the best around after 9,000.
I go to 1 to 4.3 billion because I end with me.
Oh, okay. You're the last person.
I always end. I always, I start with Adrian Barbeau and yeah. I end with me. That's it's been that way for since I was in junior high.
Wow, you guys are almost twins.
That's how it works. We'll take ourselves a break. When we come back, hell, it's Monday. You know what that means? Music Monday. So here's the scene. It's a Halloween theme. Your kids are going to go out trick-or-treating alone for the first time. Now, you drag your kids around for a while, but at some point they hit, 10 years old. 11 years old, 9 years old. It used to be.
Used to be
able to just go out when you can walk, but now it's a different time. But you're 12 years old. Your kid's 12 and the kid brother's 11 and you're taking, the boy and the girl are going out trick or treating. They knock on the door. What do you want to hear coming from the house and what don't you want to hear coming from that house? We'll take a break. Back with Music Monday next.
Back to the Adam Carolla Show with Adam Carolla, Danny Bonaducci, and Teresa Strasser. It's Music Monday, and your kids are out trick-or-treating alone for the first time. As they ring the bell and the door creaks open, what's the worst song that could be playing out of the house? What's the best song? Call 866-901-ADAM, Music Monday, on the Adam Carolla Show.
Little Sonny Bunnies, Bob's big boy.
Are you going to take them out on Halloween, the kiddies?
Yeah, I don't know how that works.
Out of guilt, that's how.
Yeah, I don't know what you...
Nothing.
You just walk up the driveway and ring the buzzer?
You knock on the door and you say trick or treat and they give the kids the candy and are they big enough to hold a bucket or will they be in a stroller?
I'll duct tape it to their head. I'll take them to my house. They won't know the difference.
Right.
I'll walk them in the front door. I'll answer the door. They won't know any difference. And I'll walk them around to the back door, and I'll answer the door again. They won't know any difference.
If you want, man, they can come with us. It's a couple of adults being responsible for several children. We always go the same three streets in Los Feliz that dress up their houses real nice.
Mm.
Takes about 40 minutes.
You know, let me say this, now that you bring that up, because I was just thinking about that. I don't want to... come down on poor folk too much, but you should be forced to trick or treat in your own effing neighborhood, and here's why. It would make you want to change it. Get a good look at your neighbors. Get a good look at the dirt lawns and the dogs waiting to die, the El Camino up on blocks and the old sofa on the porch. You should be forced to sort of live in your own neighborhood, and that means trick or treat in it too.
Yeah.
You go into other neighborhoods to trick or treat. A, doesn't let you take a good hard look in the trick or treating neighborhood mirror. And then B, I don't want your filthy poor ass coming to my house. Go make your own neighborhood better.
We used to leave to trick or treat, but one thing that was nice.
Everyone does that.
In San Francisco, we live next door to the Mission and all the.
Gay bar.
All the Mexican bakeries would stay open on Halloween and that's give out treats mission. To the kids.
Hmm.
It was so fun.
Stuff that was tainted with lead.
No. Little Mexican pastries and all the kids would line up.
Oh, close your eyes and picture the taste of Mexican pastries. Here's the thing about Mexican pastries. They look fantastic.
They look amazing.
Taste like ass. They taste like ass.
Everything else in Mexican food is probably one of the best. They're flavorful. They're
the
lovely.
Desserts.
Desserts, aside from flan, which I happen to love.
You know my theory is on that?
I don't know.
I don't know it either, but I just thought of it.
Okay, good.
Mexicans are so drunk by the time dessert comes to the table, they don't know.
There's no sugar.
They don't know and don't care if it's the world's worst dessert. That's what it is. The entire country gets loaded with the meal, and by the time dessert rolls around, they don't care if it's yogurt with some honey on it or something shaped like a cactus or some crap.
Actual cactus.
Or
cactus.
Actual cactus. They're
mango
so effing loaded by the time
pepper.
It shows up. Huh?
Mango with red pepper. Is considered candy.
I don't even know where to start with these other countries and their horrible desserts. But yes, the bakery, If you ever go to Mexico, you will go to a bakery and you'll look in the, they'll look under the glass and you'll see this. It'll be a cornucopia, a galaxy of beautiful baked goods. And you'll go, give me one of those and give me two of those and give me three of those. First off, don't waste your time with one of those and one of those and one of those because they all taste exactly the same.
Different shape,
which
same
is
flavor.
Stale, chalky, sweet, and flowery. It's a disaster. It's a baking disaster. Mexico, we should take over Mexico just on the baked goods issue alone.
Really?
Just alone. Wow. That would be enough for me.
I would think, you know, the drug trafficking maybe. No?
All pales in comparison to the horrible issue we have with the baked goods over there. And again, don't make 30 different ones and have me spend 20 minutes picking it out half drunk and then realize it's all the same chalky mess when I go home.
What about the neighborhoods? When you say you should be forced to stay in the same neighborhood.
Yeah.
Now, mine is Los Feliz, but up on the hill is... You go down the hill across Los Feliz Boulevard, and there's that neighborhood that we go to.
Mm-hmm.
But it's still my zip code.
Would you like me to do some gerrymandering so you can go to a good neighborhood?
No, I'm actually in the best part of the neighborhood. I have to go down to the...
You can go to the better part of your neighborhood. I'll even give you the Beverly Hills adjacent kind of thing. But do not pile all the kids up in the Ford F-150 and drive them to the good neighborhood. You should be forced to roll in your own filth, and that will provoke change. That will instigate change.
But
get a good look at your neighbors.
What about the people who go out of their way to entice you to their neighborhood? There are this Candy Cane Lane in Woodland Hills.
Yeah.
That is a huge deal.
They don't want you to get out of your car, though. They want you to drive by, look, and keep going.
There is a neighborhood I go to with the Maloofs where Denzel Washington stands out front all night long giving out his own candy. He's got to know that's going to attract people. Maybe you're depriving some of these people of showing how cool they are and how fun they are and how festive they are.
Yeah. All right. Well, I guess if you're asking for it, but you just go to that one
you're
house.
You're asking for it.
You go to Candy Cane Lane or you go to Denzel's house. Those are the only two houses.
Nope, Tom Hanks too.
My
also
and Hanks'
door.
House. My mom was a health food nut. Emphasis on nuts.
Oh, that
How
sucks.
Would I know that?
My mom used to hand out raisins and walnuts in the shell.
Yeah.
And here's why walnuts in the shell are not a good idea.
How should I know?
Whole walnuts in the shell. Because they become projectiles when the kids get down to the end of the driveway. Because what you do is you hold the sack out and the person throws the stuff in the sack, but sometimes you haven't sorted it out until you get, you know, it's rude. It's like opening something in front of somebody.
Right.
You wait till they leave and then you open, you know, it's like on your wedding, you don't go to the table with the gifts and start opening everything up. You wait till they leave and then you go, oh, great. Another towel. This one looks like it came from Bed Bath and Beyond. And you make all these snarky remarks there. They get down to the end of the driveway. They open the sack. They see the old ladies giving them walnuts and sun maiden raisins, and then then it's incoming.
Oh yeah,
oh yeah. Because
you want your walnut back?
They fire them right back at the house.
No,
my mom should have been brought up on child abuse charges.
Giving out walnuts.
I got one sack of candy and I got another sack of egg and toilet paper. Right. Don't F with me. I'm 48 years old and still don't you screw with me on Halloween, Mister.
All right. So the songs, the ones the kids are out.
Yeah.
Boy and a girl, let's just say.
Yeah.
They're out for their first Halloween without you. You're not standing in the street waiting for them. They're gone. They're going without you. They're going through the neighborhood. They come to a house. What do you want to hear? What music do you want to hear coming from the house and what don't you want to hear? First, we'll start with a song you do want to hear coming from the house. Faded. Door opens. He's listening to some Alan Parsons Project. This is a good dude.
You can tell.
Oh,
not a troublemaker. He's listening to Alan Parsons. This is the most mellow man in the world.
How do you know this guy's not wearing his pants, the belt right around his chest level?
You're saying like a pedophile.
I'm saying like the guy that played that song at the wedding.
John Mark Carter.
Listen to that.
Does have the same beat, yeah.
When you feel a little cozy, that guy's in there playing guitar.
I'm going to take my chances on an Alan Parsons Project.
Fair enough.
This guy's a mellow camper. This guy maybe even if he was going to do something to your kids, I think he'd pose it as a question like,
would you like me to molest you?
Right. And it'd be like, no, I'll just have the baby Butterfinger. All right.
Well, that's the same thing.
I don't know why I thought of this song. I would not fear anybody who had this coming from their house. That's
hey,
all.
I was thinking about putting a razor blade in your apple, but I don't know. Is it okay?
Yeah, let's listen to what Alan has to say. All right, so.
You get all creepy all of a sudden.
This guy's all right. I'm not worried about this guy.
I'm not worried about him.
But this next song. I hear this coming from the house. Now, you're walking up the walkway, the door's closed, you're ringing, now it opens. It's the gift from Pulp Fiction!
Oh, yeah!
English, motherfucker, do you speak
beautiful
it?
Call. Beautiful call.
Wouldn't bother you unless you knew the movie, but if you knew the movie, it would be deeply disturbing. Guy's on a leash. Got the gimp ball in his mouth. And by the way, any ball you put in your mouth becomes a gimp ball. Tennis ball is a tennis ball until it goes in your mouth. Now, gimp ball. Ping pong ball?
Gimp ball.
Danny's ball?
I might be a little less affected now that I was at that thing in San Francisco. There must have been 70 of them. Maybe more.
70 gimps?
And then some of them suspended by parts of their body and hooks.
Aye.
Sexuality is such a weird thing.
Who wants that?
Such a mixed bag.
Yeah.
By the way, you can look at Danny's penis on PerezHilton.com.
No, got the actual wiener?
Oh, yeah. Close up.
How? I had a hat over it.
You took the hat away for a second. And I'll never forget it. I just looked it up.
Just answer this one question. Was it cold in there?
Freezing. I can't go into it.
I'm not going to watch.
I had my computer removed for just such reasons.
I'll show you during the break.
All right. Horrible song.
Your kids should not come to my house for Halloween. Let's just make that clear right now because I'm wearing that outfit.
And this one, a little bit. Uh-oh, Bald Brian's having some technical problems. This next one is what we like to call on the nose. Now, if you don't have it, we'll take a break, Bald Brian. You do? It's on the nose,
pulling
but
his hair out.
But effective. You're walking up the walkway. Ring the doorbell.
Yeah.
This makes me think Manson.
Yeah.
Aaron Tate.
By the way, the guy that played Manson in this movie has named his last name. And everybody thinks it's her dad. And they're like scared of her.
The guy who plays it.
Manson.
In the movie Helter Skelter.
His name's Railsback.
Yeah.
And they always ask her, they always go, are you related to that guy? As like, even if she was,
oh,
so
Amy's,
what?
Amy's last name.
Got it.
Like, even if she was, so what? He's an actor and he's a good actor. But yep. It freaks people out. Ew, your dad played Manson.
He was a great Manson.
But that almost killed his career.
Yeah.
I mean, I think he did one or two more things, but that was it. He was Manson.
I know I sound like a broken record, but for some reason, Manson was on the news again, and they were playing another interview with him where he's giving everyone the stink eye and saying, hey, man, I know what you're thinking, and hey, man, I come get you, and all this stuff. And I thought, really, do we have to hear what this trash bag has to say? Can't somebody just kill him? Can we just kill this guy? Really? Does that mean our society is coming to an end? If we kill guys with swastikas carved in their forehead, that's giving everyone the creeps, it's going to give another interview or sell another T-shirt. We can't just kill him? Really?
I don't know.
Can't just kill him. We can't use that space for somebody else.
And I'm just looking around the room, and please don't, buddy, take offense, but I think you should be able to kill a guy that's got a Red Sox T-shirt and an A's hat on all at the same time. I think it'd just be cool. I just didn't think it's only fair.
You're talking about Mike Lynch, although I don't think that's an A's hat.
It just says A.
Well, I guess technically. All right, we'll take ourselves a break. When we come back, Danny's, Teresa's, my number one, and yours as well. Got a lot of nice entries. Music Monday, Halloween edition. We'll continue.
Back to Music Monday on the Adam Carolla Show. More songs that you don't want to hear coming out of the house
while your children are trick-or-treating. 866-901-ADAM. It's the Adam Carolla Show.
All right, we have your suggestions. We have, of course, our number one songs, and in the good and the bad department as well. Let's see. We had on line four, obviously something happened, it dropped off, but it was still a good suggestion, so we're going to go with it. Guy's wearing a medallion and an ascot. Pork chop sideburns. Got the boots that zip up on the side.
Hey.
Sorry, Danny. Left the front of fashion.
That's the best thing about me today.
He's wearing a suede vest with no shirt on underneath it. He's got that huge medallion that's looks like the yin and yang sign, but as you look at it a little closer, it turns out to be a couple engaged in a position. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Brandy Snifter. This song's on 8-track. It's not where you want your daughter going, is it? Also, let's check in with, speaking of Brandy, Brandon on line 6. Brandon?
Hey, how's it going, Adam?
Good. What do you got for us?
Little Girls by Oingo Boingo. I think that's
me. Mm-hmm. Heading up the walkway. Get to the door there. Red porch light. That should have been a giveaway. Yeah. On the nose, but still, you don't want your daughter heading that way.
Oh, no. What was that French guy that did Thank Heaven for Little Girls? That was gross. Maurice Chevalier?
Yeah, I think that's...
Dude, what up with that?
Thank Heaven for Little Girls. But he, at a certain point in the song, he explains that they grow up to be women that he can have sex with, so kind of makes it okay.
See, I get that they grow up to be about 14 and he discards them.
Well, in Europe, that's an old woman, yeah. I imagine he wrote that song initially without the part where they grow up to be women.
Yeah, that's what I figured.
And his publicist or his agent said, how about you tack on the part where they get old enough for you to hump? All right, T.
Yep.
You got yours in the good department, and then we'll go to the bad. Give us a good song, something you'd like here.
This is what I'd like unborn children
to hear.
Yes. Well, you know, there's always the one house in the neighborhood that takes Halloween really, really seriously, and they decorate the house. And you always know that if you go up to that house, you're not going to get a fun size. You're going to get a full size.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm. Big grab.
So I like people that get into the theme.
Mm-hmm. Mm, Twilight Zone. I like this. So this just means they're into it.
They'll be playing this at their house because they're setting a mood and they're going to have spooky skeletons hanging and they're going to give out good candy. And
it also means they've got that guy outside to watch to see how well he scared you.
Yeah.
They do a good job.
The dude that puts the face makeup on and lays down in the garden with the tombstone over his thing underneath the blanket. You know, you ever have those things where somebody does something and you think, wow, this could not be further away from my family?
Yeah.
My dad dressing up like Count Dracula and laying down on the lawn with the tombstone over him all night and jumping up. There's not a fiber in my dad's being.
Hello?
There's no... My dad wouldn't know if it was Halloween if people came to the house dressed as ghouls and goblins.
Why do they keep asking for candy?
That's all he would say.
That was pop water.
He had no idea what was going on. It was 1 billion zillion miles away from that.
I kind of want to be that house. I want to be the house that's all decked out and Batman will be dressed up. And all the kids know there's good candy.
I want to be the house with the gates closed and not home.
Turn the lights off.
Yeah. All right. For me, I'm going to be the guy where the thing rings and you hear the pop, the pump of the shotgun, right. And you just hear old man Corolla yelling, "Beat it!
Shut up my yard, you little goblins!"
Do you get trick or treaters over there?
I like to throw in the occasional get, and then you know you mean it when you put the "now" in front of it. Now get.
Do you get trick-or-treaters?
I haven't. Of the houses I've lived in over the last few years have not been trick-or-treater friendly. All right. What is, all right, so that's a good one and an interesting one.
Thanks.
But I like it. Danny, what do you got in the good department?
Well, this does contain the word sweet or sweetener, if you will, but it's also just makes you feel that this is going to be a safe house.
Mm-hmm. Mmm, little Mary Poppins for you. Heading up the driveway.
I'm concerned about what kind of medicine.
Yeah, I was thinking herpes. You're right.
Well, it's look, all these could take a turn for the bizarre.
True.
And it's unfair to judge them that way because...
This is good. It's wholesome.
Yeah.
Oh, they're whistling.
They could play our national anthem while they're executing tourists from our country. It makes it ironic and weird.
Yes, it does.
I just think it's unfair for us to go there. I'm going to take this at face value and say this is a good one. Yeah, I like it. All right, let me give you mine in the good department. This is technically, it's a song, but it's a theme song. Who knows what it's from? Theme from Matlock. You want a guy sitting around watching Matlock? He's not dangerous. Too old to cause any harm.
He probably bought some candy in case there were trick-or-treaters. Probably has a bowl of candy.
In 1963. But either way, he's not going to do anything to your kids.
He'll do no harm, no foul.
Yeah, it's just a guy with a cardigan.
He's going to give you sweet tarts.
He's wearing those weird old man shoes. They're tennis shoes, but they have Velcro on them. They're sort of like male nursing shoes.
Yeah.
I don't know what happens, but at some point, you hit 70 and you don't give a rat's ass about brand names anymore. I guess when you're dying, you don't care about the Nike swoosh or the Adidas thing. You start wearing weird generic tennis shoes that are too big. How about the guy? How about the big old man? You know the guy who's like 6'4", but he's rolled over now and he's like 6'1"?
Yeah.
He's got huge feet.
Yeah.
And he's wearing the creepy generic old man sneakers.
I've seen this guy. My neighbor in Koreatown, he was a giant old man.
That's weird,
bent
isn't
over.
It?
I'd never seen a real tall old man.
Anyone
before.
Over 6'4 should be killed on their 50th birthday.
That's
it
what I told him.
It freaks out the rest of society
but
when
the guy
we see
was a veteran.
You.
Thank you. my theory that anyone over 6'2 is just doing it to bother me.
Right.
Right.
And anything over 6'4, you should just be shot.
T, what do you got in the bad department now?
This one speaks for itself.
Mm-hmm. I make a run, then turn around and cry.
See, you must understand, I can't work a 9 to 5.
Who is this?
So I'll be gone till November. Said I'll be gone till November.
Why, Clef John?
Oh, told you that guy creeped me out. I don't trust him.
Yeah. And he's not going to be there till November.
I had to do the math. I had to count on my fingers.
So you're showing up to a house with nobody.
That's no fun.
Now, have you ever shown up at a house that it just has a basket in front and it says, not home, please just take one?
Yeah.
And the basket is, of course, empty.
Right.
Now, do you think that the bad
kid
came along?
There's usually fecal matter in the bottom of it by the time I get to it.
Do you think your odds of Ray went there first?
Right.
Do you think that the bad kid came along and dumped all the candy from the pumpkin into his bag? Or do you think these guys just put out an empty bucket and said, just take one?
Because that's
what
I would do. That's a great idea.
Diabolical.
That's what I'd do. Yes. Very expensive. The best. This may be a topic for Wednesday, but to me, the best thing you can get is the Reese's Peanut Butter Cup.
Yeah.
That's the best individual. That's the best indie one you can get.
Yeah, those are pretty good. I like the little Twix, too.
Yeah,
I like the little Twix. I also like the little Tootsie Rolls, and I'm a fan of the little Tiny Three Musketeers, too.
Those are good.
Gone till November, so he's not there. Danny, what do you have in the bad department?
Well, this time it's my turn. This speaks for itself.
Psycho killer. I love this song.
Psycho killer. Just
just a psycho killer, and he's speaking to my kid in French and now going ba ba ba.
Tell him to run away.
Yeah, but first he told him kiss kiss a and ba ba ba. Psycho
killer. Yeah, I love this song. I don't know why.
And this time I think ba 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 is fa fa fa.
Yeah.
The second one.
This is definitely the kind of music your parents didn't understand when you were young.
Kids today.
Yeah.
Yeah, hello?
Kind of makes me want to hear the rest of the song. All right, on the nose, but solid.
Yeah, good.
If you think that was on the nose, you wait for my next tune.
Well, I have one that's not on the nose, but will remind you sort of thematically of something you don't want to think about. Coming up the driveway. Is this from Manhunter, or is this from Silence of the Lambs? It's one of those Hannibal Lecter movies. I can't remember if it was the first one or the second one.
My big question for Brian would be, how long is this song?
Oh.
This was the song I would play when I felt like...
It goes well into Christmas.
When I worked in Chicago, I worked on the 37th floor. Mm-hmm. I'd get downstairs, outside, smoke a cigarette, and get back up. So if you heard In the God of the Vita, Danny was outside smoking one.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe two.
Mm-hmm. 17 minutes long.
Yeah, baby.
Mm, yeah.
Now he places the lotion in the basket.
I think it's from Science and Lance, but maybe it's from my Manhunter. Either way, scary, freaky music. All right. Now, do you have your number one, T?
Mm-hmm.
What do you got?
Well, both you and I, Adam, had to grow up with the scourge of health food.
Ugh.
I don't want my kids to have to suffer carob and other indignities.
Carob.
Or anything
I'd
healthy.
I'd like to find the MFer that invented carob to replace chocolate and just get not only a kick to the groin, but a running start
yes.
kick to the groin. Because it has the same calories that chocolate has. It just tastes like ass.
Right. And
idiots.
And don't take Halloween as your opportunity to tell me that my kids shouldn't eat candy.
Yes.
That's a really good point.
F you if you're giving my kids an apple or raisins.
My mom gave walnuts.
How should I know?
I'd rather have a penny.
Salad today. Uh-huh. Who does the fruit salad song?
The Wiggles.
Oh, them.
You haven't heard that?
I'm hoping they're claimed by AIDS by the time my kids get old enough to enjoy them. I pray to God every night.
By the way,
dear God,
this
please,
will get in your ear.
Please rain your wrath upon the Wiggles. I've had an ass full of Elmo. I've had an ass full of Junior Einsteins and all that crap. I don't want to look forward to a life of the Wiggles.
Not Elmo specifically, but one of them had an ass full of me.
Don't try to convince kids that fruit tastes better than candy. Don't lie.
Hey, you know, I say this all the time as it pertains to children's books. What a cop-out it is to write a children's book, because anybody can write a children's book. Bigger cop-out, children's rock band. That means you tried to rock in college, but you sucked too badly, so someone gave you some elf slippers, and you decided to rock out a bunch of 9-year-olds, and of course they're buying your crap because they're idiots. Ugh.
One of the Wiggles is a dead ringer for you.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about? The yellow Wiggle?
Worse.
I'm scared that you know this.
Yes.
You don't have
By
kids.
The way, I've never took more pleasure in saying this. No, I don't know what you're talking about. I don't know the
And I don't know why you know
idiot.
This. I'm scared.
I'm pretty sure that picture of Fred Sultan is a dead ringer for one of the Wiggles.
All right.
Salad? Yummy, yummy.
All right, Danny, what do you have?
Good, Danny, it is. In my now, you couldn't be on the you couldn't be more on the nose with this one, but so what? It's perfect for Halloween. Yeah, my little girl's answering the door. She's almost 13 now. She'll be 13 next month. She goes on her first door, opens it up, and hears.
Candy and lemonade.
I smell sex and candy.
Yeah.
Can I tell you something? I was going over my songs last night, and I thought about this, but I went, Danny will pick this.
I tell you, you know what? I dumped a bunch that I thought we'd all pick, and I've seen two of them. None of us picked them, as far as I could tell, but a bunch of the listeners have picked them.
Yeah.
That when you get a good theme, because at first I didn't get this theme, and then it was real easy, and then it was so easy I said, no, somebody else is going to go for that song. That's too obvious.
I still like this song.
Yeah, me too. I Smell Sex and Candy, my two favorite things, even in combination.
I'm going to play
cheese
mine.
And sex. Not a great. I Smell Cheese and Sex.
That's not good. Good.
No. I'll play mine, and I'll sit on my number one until after we come back from the break.
But this sit is, on your number one?
This is my, my runner-up.
Wow.
The Who. I guess it's from Tommy, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Weird Uncle Ernie answering the door. This movie freaked me out when I was a kid.
Blind, deaf, and dumb. This guy's going to do stuff to him.
Must have been a tough sell to the band, you know what I mean?
Maybe not Townsend.
Yeah. Weird time. All right, let's take ourselves a break. I have my number one song I'd like to play for you, and I will sing it as well. Also, we have yours, and you have some good ones. Take a break, wrap up Music Monday with my number one next.
Hello there, this is Mick Fleetwood. I'm listening to The Adam Carolla Show.
Tusk's not a great one to hear coming from. Just means worse than a pedophile. Just means he likes crappy music.
That is worse.
Marginally. You tell me, hey, I want you, I'm going to watch your kids. I'm like, all right, who's it between? It's between these two guys. One guy's a huge Eagles fan. He likes them better, though, separately. He likes Don Henley's work separately.
Right, sure.
Or this guy. His name's Bob Pedophile. He's molesting his son right now. Okay. Well, does Bob eat a lot? No. All right, I'm going to take the pedophile.
Glenn Campbell?
Glenn Fry.
What's the difference?
All right, where were we? My number one song. That's right, my number one song. Well, if you know me, you should know this song.
John Marco.
Oh, wrong song. That one's come. That was a listener suggestion. You want to go back to that song before we go in? Yeah. Our listener suggested, line is
this
here.
Comes up Kim. On almost every Music Monday. It's appropriate for every theme.
Do you know how hard it is? There's a ton of songs that are appropriate for almost every theme.
Hey, Kim?
Yeah?
Kim from Corona?
Yep. Good morning.
What do you got? I'm going to guess it's a Divinyl song?
It is.
Which Divinyl song could it be?
There's so many hits.
That would be I Touch My
Soul. Oh, that Divinyl song.
That's one.
Yeah, inappropriate, but at least they're touching themselves, if it's any consolation.
Yeah, but possibly with your Abba Zabba.
I saw a guy do that on the bus when I was a kid. It was disgusting.
Are you
really?
Sure? He had a raincoat, and he was called Pinky. All the kids knew him. I grew up in the city, Adam, in the inner city.
Yeah, and the beautiful thing about growing up in San Francisco is San Francisco can't judge. So no. You can have guys that are well-known pedophiles or guys just sleeping in your driveway, guys fornicating on your lawn, and because they can't judge, it just becomes a freak show.
Listen, Pinky needs to touch himself in front of the schoolgirls on the bus. That's just who he is.
Yeah, man. He's letting his freak flag fly. We can't judge. Who are you, the man? Yeah, awesome. Hey, Kim?
Yes?
Thank you, baby girl.
All right, you guys have a great day.
You too.
Thanks. I kind of liked that song though when it first came out.
I kind of did too.
When it first came out, I believe the Gwen Stefani was first breaking, and we did. There was some other girl, and we on the radio we did. Who has the best "Do Me Right Now" voice? And she won.
I feel like the Divinyls were like 4 or 5 years before Gwen Stefani. Must have been somebody
possibly.
Else.
It was because I was on a station with the play. It was before you played all the same kind of music. So it could have been 20 years before, but I had never heard of them.
But
Vinyls.
They would play the same time.
Yeah.
All right, let's go to my number one song.
Which means I just realized I must have looked really stupid.
No.
I mean, maybe.
Yeah, I remember I played an album by a song by the Guess Who, and we were on carts.
And cartridges, yeah. They're like 8 tracks.
Yeah, like 8 tracks. Yeah. And I thought it was some kind of joke the producer was playing on me. So I said, here's one by the, I'm going to go the Stones on this. You guess who?
That's how I felt.
I felt stupid on that one.
That's how I felt when I thought Jermaine Jackson's kid was named Jermajesty.
Jermajesty.
Get over that humiliation. Seems obvious
now. We haven't forgotten it either. All right, what is my number one song?
Now, you're saying if we know you, we should be able to figure this out?
Yes. Yes.
Hell's for Children.
Hey, we're going to listen to the remainder of this song, kids. I'm not going to apologize for Pat Benatar or Hell is for Children. This is not only a great song, but one of my greatest karaoke numbers. I'm running in place. I'm throwing karate kicks into the air. I'm kicking it into high gear.
Takes it down.
Isn't this song, though, like, Hell is for Children because your dad and your mom are jerks? Or is it just, life sucks because you're a kid and
It is about beating up kids.
It is?
Yeah.
It's also confusing.
This brutal abusing. They blacken your eyes and then apologize.
My dad never once apologized.
It's not really metaphorical. It's,
no.
It's hands-on.
It's on the nose.
Here's where it gets creepy.
Fist on the nose.
Be a good little boy and you get a new toy.
Tell Grandma you fell off the swing because hell.
Wow. I love this song and apparently knew none of the words.
No.
I didn't know she was rocking out about child abuse.
Oh, nobody rocks out to child abuse better than Pat Benatar.
She should have had a verse about pedophilia. That's really hell.
Yeah, the Ramones would beat on the brat with a baseball bat.
That was more suggestive.
Now we're gonna kick it into overdrive here.
Really?
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
Now, it's important for those playing their air guitar.
Yeah.
It's gotta be the Flying V.
Of course.
It's not any air guitar. Hell is for hell. Oh, imagine the Ace Man. 9 Zimas in him running in place.
Flying V, one of the few guitars you can really wail on without a strap around your neck.
Yeah.
Wedge it around your thigh.
That's right. You didn't know, T.
I had no idea.
I thought it was about how difficult it was for children to grow up with the tough parents and not understanding and stuff.
About child abuse.
I didn't know it was about Joe.
Now Pat kicks it up to another level here with the Hell is for Hell.
But tell Grandma you fell off the swing?
Yeah.
Gnarly, dude.
You missed. I'll kill your bunny if you tell how I told you, funny.
Wow. This is some fun.
I said we're going all the way through it, kids. And this song has a great rock and roll ending. Everyone just fades out now. Yeah. They don't do rock and roll endings anymore. Rock songs used to have great endings. Yes, one of the greatest rock endings ever here. Hell is for Children, everybody.
Do you have a closing move you do at the end?
I start going into a crazy Elvis karate type movement. I also, I'll tell you the move I do. Danny knows it from karate. It's a kickboxing move. It's you sort of simulate throwing your knee into someone's face and mashing their head into your knee. But you have to alternate. I'll do it for you. I'll do it for you, T. You guys watch.
Okay.
That's it.
That is manly jazzercise.
That's like super. Jazzercise. If that ever happened to you, you'd remember all day.
That's awesome. I gotta see this.
Oh, I'm gonna sing Hell's for Children.
In actual karate class, when you practice that, you make the hands go all the way down to your knees and splat them and separate them.
Yeah.
So you push the face all cool the way too. Through.
I'm holding a mic.
No, but he's doing a dance move that simulates the crushing of the face.
Well, people get the idea.
Yeah, oh yeah. Hell yes.
Hell yes, it is for children. All right, well, there you go. Another Music Monday.
By the way, are we going to go back to any of these? You want to just read some of them because they're pretty good.
Let's see. We got Alice Cooper, Welcome to My Nightmare, on the nose, but good. Iggy Pop, Candy.
I picked that.
Sammy Davis Jr., The Candyman. I don't know what that next one is. Yeah. Dead Kennedys, I Kill Children.
Never even heard of that
Did
one.
Did not know it.
Good name.
And Q Lazarus, huh?
Don't care.
Goodbye Horses.
And, of course, the Monster Mash.
Anybody that still plays the Monster Mash, there's something wrong with them.
Yes, I completely concur.
Take him to the party late one night. Okay, die.
We'll take ourselves a quick break. When we come back, I was watching The View. I was watching it on Sundays.
Thank God you could do the face smash move. I'd make fun of you right now.
I'm forced to do. The new View is not good.
No.
I haven't seen it.
I was telling you guys how crappy Whoopi Goldberg is as a comedian, how sort of unfunny and just sort of politically mixed up she is. I'm going to play you some samples of Whoopi just from a random. I actually watched some of Thursday's show and some of Friday's show on TiVo. I'll play a little best of Whoopi Goldberg. And my wife turned to me at a certain point. She said, you know it's bad when Joy Behar is your favorite.
Wow.
And I turned to her and I said, sweetie, if you ever repeat this, I will kill you and then deny you ever said it. I miss Rosie.
Wow.
And not only do I miss Rosie, I missed Barbara.
Ooh.
When you miss Barbara Walters, that means you are in a desert of entertainment. There's not a drop. There's nothing that is growing. This was four chicks just stumbling their way through coffee talk. Nothing entertaining. I mean, it was an abortion. I'm curious, and I will be curious to see how the ratings reflect this, because say what you will about Rosie. She's smart. She's articulate. She's funny. She's controversial. You don't agree with her a bunch of the time. So what? That's what makes it entertaining. This is now just a mess. All right. I'll get you some of Whoopi next when I break down The View.
And now, Alcoa presents Definitely Not a Jew on the Adam Carolla Show. Dateline, Spartanburg, South Carolina. A 19-year-old girl crashed her Toyota Camry, injuring herself and five passengers after inhaling compressed air used to clean computer keyboards. Definitely not a Jew.
Well, as I've mentioned from time to time, I spend some quality time with my family and, of course, my male lover, the TiVo guy. Sunday morning, get up, put the kids on the bed, let them run around a little bit there. Me and the wife watch The View. And we never get through it because I have the pause and I can't believe what I'm seeing. Now,
that makes an impact on people, by the way.
Hmm.
You know how I say the ones that have made impacts on me are the sweatpants with zippers. That's like a big deal.
That's my idea, yes.
Yeah, as some of Adam's advice that has really paid off for me. And there are others like I did immediately in my new condo. I still don't have my furniture, but I have a place for my keys.
Yes.
Two racks. Put them up myself. I also have towel racks. I put up myself, put one friggin' towel on them out. They came with a drywall. I know 16 inches off center. I know that. But I guess I couldn't find them. But anyway, so, you know, I have a place for my keys. I have a place when I go jogging in my sweatpants. My keys don't fly out. There's some advice that sticks with people. And that one sticks with people.
You sit home and watch The View on Sunday mornings?
You can't get through Barney. Without stopping every 5 minutes to tell you why the graphics look bad.
No, that TiVo, what a scourge it's been to my poor family.
It's so fun because chicks kind of swoon over Corolla. Sometimes he's so bright and they know you have money and you have all these cars. But then all of a sudden, like in the middle of their swooning, they'll go, but can you imagine living with that guy? And it makes me feel much taller.
Well, it's horrible because it took us to, well, it's just theoretical because I never get through an entire episode of Oprah and or The View because I have to stop and pick it apart like game film. I hadn't seen The View since Rosie had departed, and it had been a while, and I always knew the Whoopi Goldberg is sort of... People remember her as being funny, but most of the movies she's made are horrible.
Yeah.
And if you've ever seen her stand up, it's horrible. And as it turns out, she's cool, but not very funny, and talented, but not very funny. And she dresses the part. Like, if you see her hair and you see her clothing and you see her glasses and you go, this is a really interesting person. I want to hear what she has to say. Well, let's hear what Whoopi has to say. Now, this is Joy. Joy Behar is, they're talking about forgiveness. And Joy's saying, I think forgiveness is a good thing, but if I was a Jew and the Nazis cleaned out my family, I wouldn't forgive them. Would you, Whoopi? Well, here's her response to, do you forgive the Nazis?
But there was evil in Hitler's Germany, right?
Yes.
And many people were killed, and, you know, that's there have been other things that have happened since that, other genocides. Those people who are the victims of genocide, let's say, and they, let's say they survive it after they've been, I mean, you've seen those movies, so you know what people went through. Do you think that they should forgive the Nazis?
Yes.
You do?
Yes.
I don't think so.
Well, I think because...
Here we go.
One of the things that happens when you get nationalism whipped up in a country is people start going, it's them. It's not us. It's them. It's not us. Let's go get them. We saw it happen. We saw it happen here. People started saying, oh, yeah, it's all those people. You know, those people from the other countries, you know, the ones that wear stuff over their head. And they're coming over here. And all those illegal people, they're coming. We got to get rid of them. And we got to get. And so everybody starts going, we got to take care of it. Yeah, we got to take care of it.
Yeah.
And it is so easy to fall into
it's
it.
It's a mob mentality.
And so what,
sure,
I've come to understand. Really, over the last
clearly run out of steam with our own retarded argument.
Easy it is for us to become nationalistic and not recognize that we are.
Yeah.
The Nazis believed that it was them and not us.
Therefore,
they said, "Get rid of them,
right,
and everything
Joy
will be fine."
Get rid
of them. Then you're not so easy to forgive them.
But you have to recognize that them changes all the time. That point it was the Jews, this time it's the blacks, that time it's the but you have to recognize as human beings.
Yeah, but if you're the victim.
I've been the victim, but I can't
You might have been the victim to some extent.
I have been the victim. I've seen the victim.
I would have hit her with a chair.
And I have to forgive because if you don't, you stay just right here.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody says, see, nothing changes. And it has to change. And if not with me, then who?
And I know that seemed long, but it went on for another 20 minutes.
What?
And there was such an easy out.
She's horrible.
There was such an easy out. You could hear her running out of steam. Joy's bringing up the Jews and the Nazis, and should you forgive them? And a very wealthy woman is saying, I've been through it. She's screwed, and there's no way out, right? Wrong.
Well, Joy
is one word could have gotten her out.
Joy is talking, well, what's your word?
Christianity. I have to forgive them. I'm a Christian.
Right.
It's my obligation.
That would have been done.
Done. You're
done. She played that card later on, by the way.
She?
I want to know if Jesus Christ would, whatever. But first off, if I was running the show, I would have ran the technical difficulties card where the guy, that drawing of the engineer saying, whoops, is it like a camera fell over or something and just played some Lawrence Welk music or something halfway into that retarded, confusing diatribe.
Isn't the nation 3% or 6% black? No,
it's like 12%.
I'm sorry, Jewish.
Oh.
3%.
3%.
It feels like more.
Yeah. Well, I don't believe it's 3% because when the expression came out, it was a while ago, they were called, people called Jewish people 3%ers.
Mm-hmm. I haven't heard that.
Well, you never heard that? That's how I know that. My dad said it to me once.
No, that's how they tip. Come on, baby.
You know sometimes you hear his brass balls just slamming together.
I was thinking about forgiving you, but instead I'm going to go on a 20-minute monologue about nationalism.
Sometimes you'll just say it, and I'll just hear this gong in my ears, and I'll go, oh, it must be Adam's balls slamming together.
Let me ask you this. Speaking of
was that
one,
your balls?
I was just one against my chin.
Speaking of racism, if Whoopi Goldberg was just a redheaded dude in his 50s, you'd be like, hey, buddy.
Sorry. 48, bitch.
Could you imagine a male?
And take a look at Perez Hilton. I'm looking all right, tough guy.
Imagine you got a white Republican male sitting there doing that. You'd be like, A, you're not funny. B, get off our show. Yeah. You are horrible.
Right.
You see, here's my
that happened to me on the video.
Here's my horrible angle. People like Whoopi Goldberg think they've overcome so much to get where they are.
Right.
She's not very attractive. She's a female. She's a female of color. Think of what she's had to overcome to get. The only reason she's there is for those reasons. If she was Bob Saget, she'd just be the world's worst comedian. You'd be like, if she's just some white dude in her 50s, be like, in her 50s. In his 50s, you'd be like, wow, this is a really unfunny comedian. Get off the stage.
I think that she lost the plot because it seemed like Joy was just simply trying to ask about forgiveness.
She continues. And by the way, I had to pare this down to like 6 minutes because there was 40 to choose from.
This is an ear genocide.
Let's hear this other one. Now poor Samantha Harris from Dancing with the Stars, the spokesmodel from Dancing with the Stars. She can't. She has nothing to say. She's confused. Now, her show is at 8 o'clock.
Right.
Okay. The View tapes at 11 a.m.
Yeah.
So, this is a job. Now, you have to get there before 11 a.m.
Yeah, but everyone, get there at 9.
Everyone else's job starts at 8 in the morning or 7 a.m. Mm-hmm. or even 9. I don't even know where to begin. All right. So, here's your guest for the week is the chick from Dancing with the Stars.
My girl from Dancing with the Stars. I'm going to have to start watching it. I know that. Thank you. I just want to see it once just to see what everybody's talking about. Because, you know, there's a lot of about it. So I'm going to stay up for at least 20 minutes.
Is it 8 o'clock? So like 8:15? Like, is that? Or do you go to bed like 7?
Max.
She's got to stay up till 8 to watch the show. And by the way, that part where you have someone sitting in for the week and you go, I don't watch your show. I never seen your show.
I lie the other direction.
Of course.
If you came in and I've never seen your show, but I got enough stuff on my yellow card to get through this, no problem. I don't say never miss because they can hit you about a specific episode. But first thing out of my mouth is, I am such a fan of your show. Your character is really great and come a long way.
Also, you just get no problem. You get some PA to read the book for you or fill you in on whatever. Or you, God forbid, while you're in the makeup chair, you pop in a cassette and you watch 10 minutes of the show.
Right, exactly. Right. I would never admit this. I'll say it because it's part of this point, but I normally would never admit it on the radio because you just sound like you're lying. I've never seen a moment, except on a news clip, of American Idol. Not a single moment. But I would never say it to Ryan Seacrest, who's a buddy of mine, who would think, you're lying, you're jealous of my success. So I go, dude, what a great show. And when Simon gets going, you guys are great. I would never tell a guest, I've never seen your show, I think I'll stay up 15 minutes.
Well, that was on a Thursday.
Jesus.
On Friday, this came out.
Uh-oh.
I wish I paid more attention to this stuff, but I'm asleep by the time everything's on.
I don't care about dancing. You have a job that starts at 11 a.m. You go to bed at 6:45 in the evening? 7 o'clock?
Well, she's busy trying to understand the intricacies of nationalism so that she can put together such an articulate argument.
She's also got to be in the medicine chest. If your job doesn't start till 11 and you're in bed by 8...
All right. Now, maybe Whoopi isn't great at just riffing or jagging on an idea or a notion, but she must be better at just setting up the stories. The ones where they come back from the commercial and they have the 3x5 card in front of them and they're going to launch into the next coffee talk segment. Here's her setting up this story from the news.
This man was playing slots in New Mexico.
And an Indian reservation, a Native American reservation.
And go, girl. Yes. And the machine said he hit 1.6 million.
But what was the...
The casino says it was a glitch in the computer. But here's this. When you... Y'all gamble, right? You've been a casino. So you know that the machine will say maximum payout. And then if it's the jackpot, it'll say, you know, $5 million or what. Well, the maximum jackpot payout on this particular machine that he hit was $2,500. That's what it said.
Yeah.
And it says, you know, that little thing where it says computer error, you know, because computer error is...
It malfunctions,
void, and voids everything. Well, the computer, the machine never said anything on its face about $1.5 million. There was no $1.5 million, but the machine said, the man, I'm suing.
Wow, T, how confident do you feel right now?
I feel suddenly concise and interesting.
If I were Kathy Griffin, I'd put a shotgun in my mouth and blow my red head off.
What? But while she was doing that, Ken Burns called and said, too long.
Wrap it up. That's right. That was the setup. That was the setup to the story.
A talk show and continually said what the machine said.
I still don't
really
know.
Machines don't say they read. Like letters. My letter said. No, it doesn't. It read.
Somebody.
Use the King's English, you crazy bitch.
Somebody, I had to study it like these Bruder films, but eventually I gleaned that the slot machine showed the person won 1.6 million.
And the max was
2,500. The max was 2,500. Okay. It was like nickel slots. So that could have been the setup, what
we
just did right there. She took 20 minutes to do it. She is horrible. Sherry Shepherd is horrible. The poor chick from Dancing with the Stars wanted to dance her ass right out of that studio. And it is a disaster.
They do need Meredith. She was good. She held it together on that show.
First of all, you need good comedy, and you need good comedy at casinos. Hey, did I mention I'm at the Palms on November 10th? Okay, back to you.
All right, let me explain why this is bad. Here's what's going on. I'm telling you, this is why affirmative action is not a good thing.
Even in comic world?
We all pay. Whether it's a... Look, I mean, look, I'm going to be honest with you. When I took my fireman training, here's how it went. I signed up, and 8 years later, they gave me a test. There was a 105-pound, 5'3", woman of color who was standing behind me who signed up 2 days earlier. It all feels warm and fuzzy, but you don't want this chick coming up a ladder to carry your kids out of the bedroom when she weighs as much as your kids.
Right.
Whoopi Goldberg got this gig, A, because she's a chick. That's first little piece of affirmative action there. They don't need a woman. Then they need somebody who represents her political whatever. So we've cut it down. Then it'd be nice to get a minority, quote unquote, because Rosie left and she was a lesbian and she was overweight. So she had sort of two minority things there. You're going to want to replace it with another minority. And here's what you get. Horrible product.
Right.
And we all suffer.
I will give Whoopi this. She gave me the opportunity to make what I thought was a great joke. I did the first episode of Hollywood Squares without her as the center square. And my question from What's-His-Face was, Danny, what are these three things? Nappy roots, puddle of mud, and Uba stank. And I said... Three things Whoopi left in the center square. And they gave me a huge cheer.
Didn't do it.
That was nowhere on my card.
Well, good time. I think it'll be delightful when Jessica Simpson sits in.
Oh, is she coming? That's going to be a snore fest. All right. Well, anyway, Kathy Griffin, if you're listening, please don't kill yourself.
But you know why she comes from a very funny background. Her father was a transvestite heroin user who died of AIDS.
Kathy Griffin.
No. Whoopi Goldberg.
Yes. Yes. And a decent actress who makes horrible movies, but not a bad actress, and a talented person.
Yeah.
This obviously not her strength. And by the way, I did not scour the views.
Right.
I just watched Bright Eyed and Innocent on a Sunday morning Thursday view, and I was like, God damn, Whoopi's horrible. And then I said, let me see the beginning of Fridays, and I was like, wow. And again, this was a worst of. I had to cut this down to a grisly 6 minutes. All right, T.
Yep.
Somebody who's competent at her job
Well, the pressure's on.
Let's hear what you have to say about the news, baby girl.
A very interesting study has come out. A scientist is saying that human beings are going to separate into two categories: small, unintelligent trolls and giant geniuses.
All right. Here we are.
How physically strong are the trolls?
And also, I don't want Whoopi to steal this one, but I have a story about a man who has sex with a bicycle.
All right, quick break. Back with the news next.
And now, the Adam Carolla Show presents Great Moments in Local News.
Are you having trouble remembering things? Well, your morning cup of coffee might just help.
Another great moment in local news. Now back to the Adam Carolla Show.
Hey, T.
Yep.
Before we get to the news, let me say hi to Ernie. He was one of the guys who showed up at the Playboy Mansion. We gave him tickets because he had a huge cabeza. Ernie?
Hey, what's up, Adam?
What's happening, Ernie?
Hot boys heat.
Hi.
Oh, man, I just wanted to say thank you, man. I had a great time. I haven't had that much TNA in a long time.
Yeah, it was, well, it was good, wasn't it?
Did you see those two girls in the grotto having at it?
Yeah, I got pictures of it all.
Of it all?
I got pictures of almost everything that happened. I got a whole photo album put together already.
My main question was, do you have pictures of me in there with those girls and that other girl and Amy watching, not thinking this was funny?
No, you know what? Perez Hilton. I didn't get a picture of that.
That is not fair, that Perez Hilton picture.
Why?
Hey,
because
Ernie?
I'm thrusting forward in a dance move and everything's flying up and it looks like it defies gravity and I only have the tiniest little wiener ever.
What's up, Adam?
I'm going to let you get to your job as a... as a hat model.
You know what? I'm up for it. I will do anything I gotta do to come work for you, Adam.
Good times, Ernie.
If you need me to do, I'll do.
I love guys named Ernie.
Hey, Adam, you told me when I got the tickets you wanted me drunk and sweaty.
Yeah.
By 7:30, I was drunk and sweaty.
I saw you, big fat-headed Ernie out there drinking with a huge cabeza.
You're not the guy that kept calling me Big Dog, are you?
Yeah.
Yeah, I liked you, man. You were cool.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, I gave you a compliment. I said you were the man, and then you turned around and said, you know what, coming from a man of your stature, I take that as a compliment.
Look at me go. If Whoopi could only put those words together.
Thanks, Ernie.
All right, thank you guys.
Good times, brother.
I remember, he's a good guy.
Yeah, I liked him. T?
Yep.
Now, the news.
Teresa Strasser with tomorrow's news. Today.
Usually, statutory rape is only prosecuted when an older adult takes advantage of his age and experience to corrupt an underage partner, and not when two teenagers have sex. But back in 2005, Gennaro Wilson was sentenced to 10 years in the Georgia clink for engaging in oral sex with a consenting 15-year-old girl when he was 17. He was released on Friday after doing 2 years of that 10-year sentence because the Georgia Supreme Court ruled that his sentence was cruel and unusual punishment. It was a narrow 4-3 judgment. Here, he comments on his release from the Today Show Saturday.
Feels wonderful. You know, I've been away from it long enough. You know, I'm just ready, you know, to try to piece back my life. I thank everyone out there who supported me from the very beginning until now. And, you know, for those who put their reputations on the line to defend me, you will not be disappointed because I plan on succeeding in life.
Yeah, I think that was one of those, if it took place in California, wouldn't have been no big deal.
No.
And it's one of those things that F's up the whole movement. You know, just when you're starting to feel like, yeah, we've made some progress and nobody's, you know, got a handle on this racism, some a-hole. There's sort of some white uptight guy that's got to do something like this to some kid and it sets everything back and it gives everybody something to point at and go, you see, do you see what kind of country we're living in? That's the worst part about it to me. I feel sorry for the kid, spent 2 years of his life doing whatever, and maybe there's laws on the book, and maybe there isn't. Who the hell knows? It sets the whole thing back, and it just means, as Whitey, we have to apologize once again.
And don't forget, if she was consenting, right, and she's hip to it, she was receiving.
I believe she was giving.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's better to give than to receive. All right, so at least there was something in for it for the guy. I mean, he spent 2 years in the joint for not just
for
going.
For one?
Yeah.
Depends on, you know, something's worth a couple of years.
Mm.
Well, where are we going as a species? That's the question asked by Oliver Curry. He's a well-respected evolutionary theorist at the London School of Economics. He just put out a report about what he believes is the future of the human race. Here's what he has to say.
Hold on. I think you have the two names mixed up. I think Gernando Wilson is who you're talking about, and Oliver. Oliver Wellington
Curry
is the guy that got in for statutory rape.
No, these two
names. Give me the two names one more time. Let's see if you can figure out one.
Hi, my name is Tyrone.
Is in prison for statutory rape. The other is a geneticist.
And the third
Gennaro
is Germajesty.
Germajesty, as I like to call.
Gennaro Wilson.
Gennaro Wilson and Oliver Curry.
All right. So he says what?
In about 100,000 years, humans will be split into two separate species. A group of superhumans who will be between 6 and 7 feet tall and live up to 120 years. And a group of ugly, unintelligent, small goblin humans. Here's why. People will get more and more selective about who they reproduce with. So over time, only the most genetically fit people will have kids, leaving the least genetically fit people to get together and produce goblins. The superhuman kind will have symmetrical facial features, extremely deep voices for the men, and large packages. The superhuman women will have glossy hair, completely hairless skin, large eyes, and pert breasts. There won't be any racial differences. We'll all just basically be coffee-colored. Of course, none of this is going to happen in our lifetimes, and Mr. Curry says there shouldn't be any real evolutionary changes until at least the year 3000. He says we're going to two ways: superhuman, glossy-haired, beautiful, deep-voiced people, and small goblins.
I see his point. You know, that makes perfect sense. Like, Hollywood has got all these beautiful people because the head cheerleader and the captain of the football team all came out here to be movie stars. And whether they made it or not, they still met each other and bred and even had a beautiful child. So I see his point there. And then I guess, I mean, I don't want to be rude because this guy was so nice to us, but Danny DeVito and Rhea Perlman are going to breed. That can't be good for anyone.
But their offspring will be killed at birth, right?
If there's a God, and you say there isn't.
I'm just assuming. I mean, I'm not in the medical profession, but I guess I'll have to look into it. Maybe I shouldn't have assumed.
Never assume.
I did not know that. I just assumed.
You.
Okay, so you're saying that's right. The beautiful people will pair up, and the ugly people will pair up, and they'll have the stilts and the goblins, but
I'll be a great
I'll tell you
goblin.
What screws this whole thing up. What screws this whole thing up is money.
I know.
Yep, I was thinking that.
It's Billy Joel that'll screw this whole thing up.
Right, because what's that little Alexa creature?
Well, that's the problem. She's the bridge between the goblins.
She's the bridge over
and
troubled
the beautiful
water.
People.
Yeah, she's a little of both.
Yeah, she can be a liaison in between the two so we can settle our differences.
She can be both mom and dad, an uptown girl and a boxer.
She's a midtown girl.
Yeah, as long as the Billy Joels of the world can get the Christie Brinkleys of the world, there's going to be a bridge to Goblinville. Write that down.
Done and done.
Name for the next movie. Yeah, right?
Bridge to Goblinville.
I mean, look, guys are, you know, a God willing, my great-great-great-great-great-grandson is going to be an ugly mess, but he'll pull up in his Ferrari hovercraft, and he'll knock up some hot, tall chick.
Well, then, eventually, there'd be no more goblins.
Mm-hmm.
Except the poor goblin guys would still have to mate with the trolley goblin girls.
Mm-hmm. But as long as those poor goblin guys can be producers, I feel like they can be reproducers.
Yeah, see, I'll throw you a curveball.
Yeah.
Because people believe me to have much more money than I do. But I have some substantial cash, I guess. And also, I'm short and goblin-like even as we speak. But because of what I do for a living, and I happen to live in the world's shallowest town, I can get a Christie Brinkley every now and again, but have known to throw a few back and think, hey, that goblin-looking chick seems fun. So, you know, you might get a crossbreed in there somewhere. Again, the bridge to Goblinville.
Well, I'm not sure if this man was on that bridge, but he was having sex with a bicycle. Mm. Maybe you guys can clarify, because the story's a little vague.
Boy or girl's bike, because it's weird if it's a boy bike.
You know, I'm assuming it's a boy.
How old
are the men? A 51-year-old man.
We got nothing to talk about.
If he's 51, it was definitely a huffy.
You do it with a girl's bike. You do it with the slick chick or the foxy lady. like a nice Schwinn girl's bike?
Yeah.
Man, we're cool.
This guy,
I have no quarrel with you.
51 years old. He was staying at a hostel in Scotland. Two room cleaners were doing their rounds. They knocked on the door several times and no one answered.
Isn't the word youth supposed to be in front of that word
this
hostel?
This is just the Aberley House Hostel.
Well, that's the problem. You don't put youth in front of the word hostel, and you got a bunch of old transient guys flopping instead of good-looking hitchhikers.
Does anybody know? Concerning. Now, I could, I think, under the right circumstances, figure a way to have sex with almost any inanimate object. Well, where do you go with the bike?
Here's what happened.
Funky Town?
Some cleaners knocked on his door several times. No one answered.
Mm-hmm.
They unlocked the door with their master key.
Yeah.
And that's when they saw Robert wearing a white T-shirt, naked from the waist down.
Oh,
according to the local prosecutor, the accused was holding the bike and moving his hips back and forth to simulate sex. The cleaners told the hotel manager, who called the cops. Robert was arrested for sexual breach of the peace. And last week in court, he pleaded guilty. He will have to register as a sex offender in Scotland.
Does that mean he can't have sex with a bike with anything but a 27-inch front tire and
within
a 100
yards
tire?
Of a Schwinn? He can't go to the Tour de France.
Wow.
He's got Lance's other testicle.
By the way, in 1993, an electrician named Carl Watkins got jail time for having sex with the sidewalk.
You see...
But I get that one.
That just means you fell over with a boner, right?
I think you have to move your hips, too. That seems important.
How ugly does your wife have to be for you to rape a stretch of concrete? You know what I mean?
Well, I mean, you're right, but I could have fallen. A certain girl in my past life told me I can't have sex till I'm married, and then told me, well, a few times before I met you, I tripped and fell and landed on some wieners.
Really?
Exactly what you said.
I just mean, in today's... And I know this is 93, but with all the porn that's so abundant and all the devices and all that we have, having sex with the sidewalk.
Seems desperate.
Really does. It's almost like...
Not at 90210.
Oh, well, that's true. Yeah, I mean, if it was a trendy, attractive sidewalk, but all right. What do you have to bring it home with, Dave?
At the box office, number one, Saw 4, making $32.1 million.
What is wrong with our country?
We
does
like
that bother anybody? Yeah, but that's like slicer porn. That's not horror movies.
But same with, we have that director in here that did Hostel, and Hostel's one of the gnarliest movies I ever saw.
I know, I don't think it's a good sign that movies like Saw 4 are number one, and not only number one, but number two made like 12 or 14 or something,
number
right?
Number two was Steve Carell's new comedy, Dan in Real Life. It made $12.1 million.
So we've almost tripled what number two did with Saw 4. And Saw 4 did not get that big a push. I mean, I saw some billboards and I saw some commercials, but not like they've done with other movies. And Dan in Real Life did more, whatever that movie was.
That's right. At number three, Josh Hartnett's vampire movie, 30 Days of Night, $6.7 million. At number four, The Game Plan, $6.3
million. What the F is... I don't know what's worse. That I like The Rock, and I'm all right with the Disney stuff, but come on, people. It's not a Pixar. You know, those Pixar movies, those things are really entertaining and really creative and really interesting and well done. This is a bad Disney comedy, and it's going on week number nine. That movie has been in the top three or five for, seriously,
it's in its fifth week, but it's made $77.1 million already.
Jesus Christ.
Rounding out the top five, your other favorite, Tyler Perry and Janet Jackson's Why Did I Get Married, making $5.7 million.
I know. It seems like I got it in for the brothers this morning, but I saw his other movies just to find out what's going on because he's a totally self-made guy.
Right.
He writes the movies. He produces the movies. He's his own little company. And essentially, it's what I'm attempting to do, release my own movie. So I thought, I'm going to check out this Aunt Gelda's Got Her Groove On, or whatever the hell his first one was. Horribly written. Wow. Piss poor in the writing department. Just bad. Just
is there a butt bad.
No, it's what
I was reading a butt, what a guy or something.
Well, it's really syrupy and just... morose, and it's horrible writing. If you watch it from a writing standpoint, you go, well, it's a horribly written movie. But he goes on Oprah. Oprah licks his ass, and then it opens number one.
Yep.
Thank God it doesn't open number two.
That's the
formula at that moment.
Yes, that's the formula.
It's made $47.3 million in its third week. I'm Teresa Strasser. That's the news.
Tomorrow's news. Today, Teresa Strasser. You, CNN.
All righty. We need to take ourselves a break. Speaking of ass licking, Kirk Morrison. Probably heading to the Pro Bowl this year, inside backer for the Oakland Raiders. Ugh, poor Oakland. They start off with a couple of dramatic losses. Then they win a couple, and it's like, hey, they're right back in the hunt. And then as soon as we mention they're back in the hunt, pow, they're gone.
Dude.
They lost their last three, although my Rams are now 0-8.
How I don't understand it all?
Mm-hmm.
But I did happen to land and take off from the Oakland airport this weekend.
Oh, you did?
And there was, like, nothing else being spoken of. Nothing else being spoken of.
They do love their football
they
in Oakland.
They do.
We need to take a break. We'll talk to the very congenial Kirk Morrison next.
Back to the Adam Carolla Show with Adam Carolla, Danny Bonaducci, and Teresa Strasser. And now a little sit-down with Oakland Raiders middle linebacker Kirk Morrison. Brought to you by PerfectPushup.com. Get ripped fast for under $40.
That's intercepted. Picked off by Kirk Morrison.
Kirk Morrison on the Adam Carolla Show.
Kirk Morrison, great to speak to you as per usual. You there, Kirk?
I'm here.
I know you're a little disappointed over the Raiders' loss yesterday to a pretty tough Tennessee Titans team. So you guys go 0-2, then you go 2-2, you're back in the hunt, but then you've lost a few since then. What's the plan?
Oh, man, the plan is we still got a lot of football left. Still got, nine games left, which is still a lot for us.
I'm not a big football fan, but I'm assuming the plan is to win more games than you lose.
Not so fast, Bonaducci. Let's hear what the pro has to say.
Right. Okay, what's the plan?
Kirk, would you like to win some games?
We got to win more than we lose.
You won this round, Bonaducci.
All right, touche, mister.
It is tough out there. Look, let's face it. We have to stop the New England Patriots. They are so filthy, stinking good. They are beating the bejesus out of everybody. It's not even close. It's like, you want to win, you want to go to the playoffs and do all that, but what's going to happen? You're just going to run into the Patriots at some point, and they're going to score 60 points.
It's just unbelievable what they're doing right now. Just watching them every day just go out and operate. It's fun to watch, but at the same time, you would like to get a shot at trying to play those guys and try to knock them off their throne. But they're just right now, they're just unbelievable. Every week, it's something new. You know, to put up 52 points in an NFL football game,
Jesus.
I mean, that's huge.
And against the Washington Redskins, who have a pretty decent defense this year.
Yeah, they got some good guys over there. So it's like, wow, it's unbelievable just the number they've been putting up.
When you say, when you're talking about the Patriots, seeing them being amazing, it's fun to watch them play. When you're playing a team that good, and you're still close, you could win the game. You could still win the game. Can you admire how good your opponent is when you're head-to-head with them, or do you just hate them?
You know, it's funny. Sometimes during the game, you admire. It's funny because I was telling one of my teammates, Michael Huff, and for the past two weekends, except for yesterday, we played, we think, two Hall of Fame tight ends, Antonio Gates and Tony Gonzalez.
Right.
And just the moves that they do, the catches that they make, it's, you know, I feel bad for the guy who's guarding them on our team because, I mean, these are Hall of Famers. These are guys that they just...
Well, they're both great, and, Gonzalez just got the record for most touchdowns from a tight end. And the thing you don't realize, some guys are bigger in person, and some guys are smaller in person. Like Warren Sapp on the Raiders, he's lost 50 pounds. But even before he lost his 50 pounds, doesn't strike you as that big a guy when you see him in his street clothes. Tony Gonzalez is huge.
Oh, yeah.
Huge feet, huge hands, like just huge parts, right?
Right, oh, yeah. And he just catches everything.
comes his way.
And some big ass hands.
Yeah, and like I said before, has no problem dunking the football on the 10-foot right. goalpost after he scores on your ass. Hey, Kirk Morrison, can I ask you this then? Speaking of the Patriots and how you stop a team like that, if your defense is going up against an offense that's averaging 45 points a game, tell me what you think of this, because I was saying it to someone over at Kimmel's. I said, look, it's like when Tyson was in his prime.
Mm-hmm.
You can't get in the ring and try not to get hurt. Your only chance is to move forward and swing. You're still probably going to get knocked out.
Right.
But maybe, just maybe, you'll catch him. I said, if you're going to play the Pats, put the DBs up, have them check the wideouts, hang on to them if you have to, grab them and check them, and then send everybody. Right. Just blitz everybody. See if you can hurt Brady. See if you can make something happen.
Not that I would make this comparison against you, sir, but Buster Douglas, their ass. You
right.
know, Tyson was still in his prime when Buster Douglas was nobody and knocked him out in Japan. It can be done.
I would even say Holyfield, his ass, in the sense that he wasn't intimidated and walked right at
Walked right
Tyson.
At him, absolutely.
What would be the way you would say, as a defensive player who leads the team in tackles and is probably going to the Pro Bowl this year, how would you stop the Pats?
Just everyone, just man up. That's what we call it, just man up.
Man up.
Everyone has, it's 11 guys on the field, on defense, and they have 11 guys on there.
Would you blitz? Would you go back into some sort of umbrella package? I mean, I feel like nobody gets pressure on Brady, and then he just picks everyone apart. Like, and everyone goes.
It's unbelievable. I mean, I think my rookie year, my first game ever, you know, I'm fresh out of college. Unbelievable. I just can't wait to play my first NFL game. And my first game is against the New England Patriots on Thursday night in front of national TV.
Oh,
mm-hmm. I mean, it's the ring ceremony. They're unveiling the banners. I mean, they got
they just won the Super Bowl the year before, huh?
I mean, it was, you know, everyone's playing. I mean, it was unbelievable sight. And, you know, I'm kind of getting caught up in all of this stuff because this is my first game. This is the NFL game. I mean, this is
right.
unbelievable. And then I go out, and then finally I go into the game. Like, the first series, I didn't start the first series, and then they took a guy out and they said, hey, no, you're going in. So I went in, and to watch Tom Brady operate as a quarterback, I don't know what more you can do because he sits there and just his knowledge of the game. Like, I mean, sometimes before I even blitzed, he pointed me out and said, hey, he's the blitzer. If he comes, he makes his reads off of certain people. That's what makes him so good.
Like a tell of some kind? You can just tell?
He knows what's going on.
He can read your mind.
Yes. Wow.
Look, I'm telling you, the only way this season is going to be salvageable is if you smuggle a folding chair out there.
Right.
And 20 minutes after he throws a pass, you just come behind him pro wrestler style and take him out.
Well, clothesline him?
But then our very good friend, Mr. Morrison, who calls in our show, mm-hmm. who we love, would get in terrible trouble.
I'll get you a gig doing the sports on this show, Kirk.
Yeah, that always lasts a long time, that job.
Kirk, you got a man up.
You got a man up with a folding chair, Kirk.
You're rich now.
I like my job right now. I don't want to lose it.
Well, you're really rich now.
Sports.
What would you pay to have that guy not be able to show up?
No, if you're a competitor, you want him to show up. That way you can.
Oh, God bless you.
Yeah.
I like that.
Until the third quarter begins and they're up 42-6.
And you think, where's Bonaducci now? And
where's Bonaducci?
Crowbar.
That's right. Hey, Kirk Morrison, always a good time. Always look forward to talking to you on Mondays. You guys are going to be playing Houston.
Yes.
And I'm going to predict a win for the Oakland Raiders.
Right.
Coming up this Sunday, 1 o'clock, we play it right here on KLSX. Kirk, we'll be watching.
All right, cool, guys.
Good times, brother.
All right,
take
man.
Care.
Chill out for me next week.
Okay.
All right, appreciate it, guys.
Take
Later,
care.
Later, man. Thanks.
Kirk Morrison, inside backer for the Raiders. Quick break. Be back. Yeah, well, that's it. I want to thank Kristen Bell. Heroes tonight, 9 o'clock, NBC, and Kirk Morrison. Raiders versus Texans. It's two regular guys. It's a pirate versus a Texan. Sunday, 1 p.m. right here in KLSX. And until next time, this is Adam Carolla saying mahalo.
A few times before I met you, I tripped and fell and landed on some wieners.